We weren't sure we were going to have a meeting at all, but the snow melted fast. Was on the road for a while.
Yep.
Yeah, we're happy to have everybody here. Let's see, we'll start with introductions. Maybe Jack Lytle, you could start for us.
All right. Jack Lytle, representing Uinta Basin Association of Governments, Daggett County Commissioner.
Jerry Taylor, Garfield County Commissioner, representing Fife County AOG.
Scott Bartholomew, San Pete County Commissioner, representing Six County Association.
Ralph Brown, Sevier County Commissioner, soon to be representing Sevier County.
I'm Bruce Adams. I represent San Juan County. I'm a commissioner in San Juan County representing Southeastern Utah AOG, and I just want to say Jerry Taylor wins the cool socks day to day.
They're even from a different county.
Wow.
Do they have projects up today?
Yeah. I don't know.
You take a bribe.
Quit looking at my legs, Bruce.
Yeah, they look like chicken legs.
Yeah, they are.
I'm Chris Piper with the Utah Attorney General's Office.
Good morning. Nagi Zanadi from UDOT Commission. And wishing you a happy Easter. If you got your money from the governor's office, I got mine. $100,000 signed from treasurer's office. Call and check in.
Mayor Dean Baker, Naples City. I represent Uinta County.
Commissioner Greg Miles. I represent Duchesne County.
I'm Laura Hansen. I'm the state planning coordinator with the governor's office of planning and budget.
Okay, I think we're just missing Kurt Slaw with the treasurer's office. Maybe he'll come in a little bit.
I don't care if he comes. I got my money.
I cashed mine the other day, and it's no good.
Really? Darn it.
Maybe he's out printing his.
Okay, we'll turn some time over for financial review to who, Candace or Brenda?
Good morning. This is Candace Powers. I'm the fund manager for the Permanent Community Impact Fund. Today is April 6th. I just want to make sure you guys know where you are and what day it is. I thought it was like midwinter for a long time, so I'm happy to know that it's April 6th and the sun is shining. We have five projects for review at today's meeting. This is the second meeting of the third trimester of fiscal year 23. On the financial sheet, you can see that we've highlighted the projects to be discussed in yellow. Also, on page two, we represent... Whoops. Sorry, I'm echoing back to me. Okay. On the second page, you can see that we have mineral lease revenue as of March 17th in the amount of $21 million. We have requests, outstanding grant requests, in the amount of $13 million for this trimester, which leaves us with enough revenue to fund those grants in the mineral lease balance. But you go down to the bonus, that's B/F, requests total. We have revenue in the bonus fund of $5 million. And we have requests for loans out of the bonus fund, which can come out of the mineral lease account as well, but there still isn't a large enough amount. We have requests in the area of about $45 million. So you can see, we show you, if you were to fund those, you can't. So there will be some serious discussion by the board. The outstanding loans you see are $45 million. The outstanding revenue is $5.6 million. So we have the major infrastructure set aside with a $6 million, which you can allocate out of that for projects over $5 million. And with that, I turn the time over to the chair.
Question, Mr. Chairman.
You bet.
Is this funds will be available, Candace, by June, funding trimester, you think?
What can we anticipate? Roughly, I know it's a...
I know. We hold our thumb up. And some months' revenue is bigger than others. We've gotten around 2 to 3 million a month into the mineral lease fund, and we've gotten about 800,000, which is the lease payments that when the state of Utah is able to get a hold of those leases on federal land, which there's a moratorium on them, so that bonus fund isn't building much. That's the lease payment. That's what does the bonus fund. And in statute, the board must allocate that funding as interest-bearing loans. The mineral lease account is the revenue that's actually being produced when they're pulling it out of the ground. And that revenue, some part of it goes to the federal government, and they give about 49% of what was given to them back to the state of origin, but in this case, Utah. And so that fluctuates depending on when that entity pays their revenue. It comes back monthly, but it's been about between $2 and $3 million, although in December we got $8 million. But that's for the whole state. The CIB gets 32.5% of what comes back to the state. So in anticipation, we'll probably have about by June 1, which is when you'll be funding these, I would speculate you will get an additional amount of revenue in the area of about $8 million by then. On top of, and that's just the mineral lease part. On the bonus part, it only adds up to about $800,000. So you add, you know, we'll probably have about $8 million in the bonus fund by June 1.
One more quick, just clarifying. When we loan out the bonus fund money, when it gets paid back, it goes into the mineral lease?
No.
It goes back into the bonus fund.
The bonus fund has a number on it, and it's an account, and it's 5290. The mineral lease has a number on it, and they stay in their same colors so that we know when it comes back in, we can grant it.
Okay.
It's mineral lease fund.
For the ability
because it's statutorily limited. Right. Even that, let's say it's washed a little and it comes back different because now it's interest, it still goes back into the bonus fund and must be allocated as a loan. But we've got a lot of loan requests, so we need more in the bonus, but it all goes back to its...
Right. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you broke my heart. I'll give my money back to you.
We're going to put that in the bonus fund.
Candace? We're expecting a repayment from the Uinta Railway project, aren't we?
In about a year.
Oh, a year from now. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was wondering when that was.
Can we call it back?
No? Oh, good question. We'd like to recall that note.
Okay, I'm getting a little bit older, so I have to have her remind me of things quite often. But I've been in the cattle business my whole life, and so when I see somebody show up in red cowboy boots, it really makes me happy. So, Brittany, thank you for wearing those cowboy boots. And when I was growing up, I used to listen to the Dixie Chicks. Well, these three girls over here are the Utah Chicks. They're my buddies. Anyway. All right, that's enough of that. We need a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, a motion by Nagy.
Second.
Second by Jerry. Further discussion? Seeing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Do we have to do a roll call?
Not in this case.
Okay.
If it's unanimous,
Unanimous. Nobody opposed, I don't think.
With Kurt Slaw absent for the vote.
Is Kurt on the line? Okay, Kurt is absent. We'll go to our new projects. Candace, do you want to? She needs reminded. Do you want to give us a rundown?
Yes, on Ashley Valley. And if they'll come up. And this is Ashley Valley, number one on the agenda today. It's for a sewer cleaner and vacuum system truck. This Ashley Valley provides sewer and water services to the unincorporated area of Vernal and Naples City. In the public hearing minutes, they do indicate that a 0 or 1% interest loan would be ideal if a loan is granted. It's not maintenance equipment. They say in the public hearing that it's infrastructure, and it's for cleaning out the manholes and the sewer. A vacuum truck is a tank truck that holds a pump and a tank and is designated to suck different kinds of liquid materials, usually from underground locations, and transport these liquids to another location. What is the area served by Ashley Water and Sewer? I believe that the interest or the public hearing minutes indicated that it is unincorporated area of Vernal and Naples City. The ability of the district to be able to visually inspect, video inspect, clean, and vacuum debris from these facilities is a critical part of maintaining for their customers. I think that they have a truck. They already have a truck, but they'll put that as a backup truck. They want this new truck. And it also is an insurance requirement in order to get better insurance. If you'll explain that, that was discussed in the description. And with that, their request is a $400,000 grant, and they do have $160,000 applicant cash.
Chairman, just for clarification, I do sit on Ashley Valley Water and Sewer.
You'll have to leave the room. No.
And at first I thought Candace said that Naples was part of that, excluded, incorporated, but Naples, all of Naples City is part of that.
So you're double-deemed.
Uh-huh.
Okay, would you like to introduce yourself and see if you can convince us?
Okay, well, I didn't wear the right socks for that today.
I know, but you got the coolest beard I've seen in a long time.
There we go. Well, that's the only thing I like going for me. Well, thank you. My name is Ryan Goodrich. I'm the district manager for Ashley Valley Water and Sewer Improvement District. I want to thank the board for hearing us today. And particularly want to thank Candace and Brenda for their help over the years. We've had a great working relationship for many, many years, and specifically the help that they've had with this application. To give a little background and to maybe answer some questions that Candace brought up, Ashley Valley Water and Sewer does provide sewer collection services across the district boundaries for approximately 14,000 people. Not all of these people have sewer connections, but since 2018 we've added over 450 sewer services to our district. Each one of these new services demand a certain level of service that we strive to uphold. In the last couple of years, Ashley Valley has taken quite a bit of time to complete the EPA mandated vulnerability assessment and emergency response plans. And one item that came up in those plans was our vulnerability and ability to respond quickly to sewer collection emergencies. Of particular concern is when snowmelt, rain, and flooding events occur. Today's application is specifically to address that issue. Additionally, the district recently passed a moratorium resolution that puts a pause on new development for a period of 6 months so that the district can perform a water rights study. This study, combined with our recent master plan study and minimum sizing determinations, the water rights study and associated attorney fees for policy development are being funded solely by the district, which is another reason we're seeking funding from the CIB today. As Candace mentioned in our application, we're seeking $400,000 in grant with $160,000 in cash, applicant cash. While this might at first glance feel like another maintenance item, I want to stress the board the importance of this asset. Sewer vac truck is vital to any community, I believe, that is providing sewer collection services. It truly is the first line of emergency response. And I believe should be a required piece of infrastructure for every district that is providing sewer collection services. Much just like redundant pumps, generators, and hydraulic models are required, I believe that a vac truck should be as well. When emergencies occur in the system, the truck will be the first piece of equipment on site. It's designed to allow for manhole bypasses, temporary pumping, waste removal, and much more. As our system continues to see impacts from growth, our emergency response capabilities need to be enhanced, and this truck will fit that role. In the response to the insurance part, we get a discount on our insurances if we are inspecting and cleaning manholes. We do a visual inspection every 3 years of every manhole in the system, and we do a camera. We run a camera, which we purchased years ago, down each one of those lines. We've also incorporated a new sonar technology that allows us to do inspections based on sound, that sends a sound wave through the sewer system to determine whether or not we're having potential problems or soon-to-be problems, and then we can catch them before they are. But this truly is, for us, a piece of emergency equipment that we feel is vital to our operations. So I respectfully ask for your help in funding this project. Thank you.
Okay, we have questions by the board. We'll go with Commissioner Bartholomew.
Thank you. The question that I had is where this is a backup. Have you considered just renting it when you need it?
Well, this will become the primary. The old one that we have is on kind of its, not quite its last legs, but it has certainly seen its age, and we've had enough problems with it as it being down for maintenance and trying to get things fixed. We had to reinstall a complete new wiring harness a couple years ago in it. So this truck will become the primary. The other one will be a backup that's just there as a backup. We have considered renting. We've looked at, there are a couple of oil field companies that are in the area, as you probably well know. When we have met with them, none of them are willing to have a dedicated truck on standby for us. And so then we're at their mercy of, you know, responding to emergencies if they can respond or are willing to.
Jack Lytle.
When you're using this, as far as the need for it, I think you've established it well. I guess I'm looking, you made a comment that caught my ear, and I probably am getting more tied into being a small county with a sewer and water system, that whether we should have one or not, it would be, to get one would exceed our budget, our annual budget for the whole system. But
right.
Are you inclined to share?
That would have been my question as well.
That's a good question. No,
for emergencies and different things, in terms of its value to a broader community, that's kind of important. Also, I think and we get along well in the Uinta Basin, obviously, but that would be something I'd hope you'd consider.
Yeah, so we are members of the Utah Warren Association,
right.
Which is one where we share equipment, or we have the ability to share equipment, and we have working relationships with Daggett County and Uinta County in particular, the other agencies. So yes, that would be added to our asset list for emergency response, both through Utah Warren and in local type emergencies that happen. So yes, it would be.
Thank you.
Other questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Laura?
Hi.
Hi.
So I noticed that you're looking for a grant, but Candace mentioned that a 1% or 0% loan might also be something you guys could handle. What your request is right now is outside of sort of the suggested range that we usually work within. Do you have the ability to support and pay back a loan if we were to support you that way? What are sort of the parameters?
Should I just say no?
Yeah.
I think that's what everybody wants to say is
yeah,
no.
Yeah, I know. It's
the board discussed it, and that's the, you know, I'm here representing them, and they will have the final determination. Sure. It's not ideal for them based on the outstanding loans that we have, both with the CIB and just other projects we have going on. Capital infrastructure obviously plays a role into that of trying to have money set aside for future projects and emergency response. So I'll say probably, but I don't know. They were pretty adamant that we asked for grant money. And when we talked about it in the board meeting, and it is in the minutes, they said, you know, we could probably do that, but they do not, they're not thrilled about the idea of interest-bearing loan. I think if it was a no interest, they might be more supportive of that. But once again, I'd have to take it back to the board.
Yeah.
And Laura, they are putting $160,000 of their own money into it. So that, I think that comes into play
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Nagy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So if by chance they approve the loan, some kind of loan, what kind of source you will use to repay the loan? Do you have that discussed in your board meetings?
Would you repeat that?
If the board approves some kind of loan and combination grant, have you discussed the repayment of the loan with what source? What kind of money you will have?
So we're based on rates for water and sewer rates. We recently did a rate increase in January, specifically to help cover potential for this, but other projects we have going in. So we'll use just user rate fees to pay back the loan if that's what happens today.
Okay. And the source of that $160,000, where is it sitting? Is all part of the general budget sitting there to be used?
Yeah, it's part of our capital replacement funds. It's in the general fund, but we've earmarked that this year in our budget for capital funds, and this is where they decided to approach it this year.
Thank you. One thing from the staff, the sheet that I have used for the AOG review, it is none of the questions been answered, but it's been signed. Is that kosher?
It went through the AOG. What, didn't it?
It is none of the questions been answered that, you know, part of the review, but the form has been signed.
I don't give them the questions to ask at the review. They just have to acknowledge that it is on the cap list. That it is under their jurisdiction. The questions I ask is for you. Is that what you're referring to?
No, I wonder if maybe there's a, on my AOG review form, it looks like everything's been responded to.
Mine
is yours
blank.
May be blank
mine
for some reason. I feel like this has maybe happened a couple times for some reason.
Okay.
We did, I am the chair of Unibase, or was until last month, but we did review this project in our AOG.
Okay. But yeah, mine is blank.
Are there questions? Do we have a motion?
One more question, if I could. It says in the application that rates are in a supplemental attachment. I don't see that attachment anywhere, or didn't. I'm just curious what your rate increase was.
So we raised our rates $3 a month, $1.50 on water, $1.50 on sewer in a base rate. In addition, commercial rates are $3 a thousand over 8,000 for sewer. And then there's a piece of our sewer rates that go to the treatment facility to treat the sewer that comes down.
Greg, I think that's referring to the, what do we call it?
The funding tool.
The tool, yeah.
Oh,
that's just referring to the tool. Where it says... below range rates below. They're referring to the tool with that one. Okay, any more questions or motion?
I'd make a motion to approve as requested.
Okay, we have a motion by Jack Lytle to approve a $400,000 grant. Do we have a second?
I will second.
Second by Mr. Mills.
Clarification, would the exception be for that? If we're going outside of the tool.
I knew you were going to ask that, and I don't have that list in front of me.
At last meeting, it was mailed out to you. I will.
Yes. I need to put it. So maybe we could just throw it in the packet each time? Is it in the, like with the agenda and the, as a suggestion? I know I looked at it too.
And I would make a substitute motion, but maybe we need to vote since there was a second on that.
Well, and I'd like to add to the
procedures are.
Yeah. I'd like to add to the make the exemptions.
Chairman.
Yes.
That brings a question to my mind. One of the we went through this before with you. It says that producing counties should get more grant and lower interest rates, and it's still that's in that policy. So that's kind of, you know, I mean, I don't know what the tool's doing, but it used to be that we would get, you know, a little more grant for the producing counties, and I still kind of hold to that factor.
They do.
It's built into the tool.
But the tool seems to, if this, like this, want to give it all in grant and not even, or all in loan.
Yeah, I looked at that, and I believe it's the way that the project was classified was it like miscellaneous vehicle?
So that's what may be.
Yes, it's up on the board.
Which we don't consider it as a vehicle. It's, yes. Yeah. Okay, that makes the sense.
That changes things quite a bit.
The classification.
So if I may, where I would go with it is either the special circumstance. I think they've demonstrated with their skin in the game a good thing there, but I could also go to administrative where they've provided, where they would be a part of a broader area in service with that truck. And so either one, to me, I'm open to conversation.
I would concur on the special circumstance. I think he made mention of their moratorium on being able to serve more individuals.
Right.
And so they're going to need a tremendous amount of capital in order to do that.
Okay. So I'll add that to my motion that we'll go with special circumstance.
Thank you. Greg agrees?
Yes.
Okay. All right, we have a motion and a second. Do we take a roll call vote on this one? Okay, Brenda? Or Candace, sorry.
Thank you.
Sometimes we've had the substitute occur before the vote, if someone were inclined, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what the procedures are, or what the order of things.
Yes, you need to make a substitute before we vote on the initial.
Okay, my substitute motion would be to go with the minimum suggested in the range, which would be a $324,000 loan at 0.5% interest and $76,000 in grant.
We have a substitute motion. Do we have a second? Okay, that motion dies for lack of a second. You're shocked, aren't you?
I'm shocked. Stunned.
All right. We'll take a roll call vote on the initial motion.
The motion was to fund the Ashley Valley Water and Sewer Improvement District sewer cleaner and vacuum system truck with a $400,000 grant by Jack Lytle and Commissioner Greg Miles. Commissioner Jack Lytle.
Jack,
Ms. Hansen.
No, because I feel like most applicants are coming to us with skin in the game and relatively emergency situations. So,
thank you for your comments. Okay. Were you roll calling already?
Yeah.
Yes. Aye.
No, I didn't ask you. Commissioner Bartholomew.
I was called on.
Yes.
Well, I thought he was calling on me.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor
Thank
Baker.
You. For
Epstein.
Your patience.
Epstein. Good. There you go. Commissioner Miles.
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor.
Aye.
Commissioner Adams.
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti.
Aye.
That motion carries with one abstention and one against.
One absent.
And one absent.
And one absent.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Congratulations.
You need to go buy you some new socks.
Or boots, maybe. Maybe
at
least red boots.
Oh, that was one comment I wanted to make. Thank you for not bringing any of your socks to share with us, knowing where you were.
Okay. Austin Community Special Service District.
Number two on the agenda today is Austin Community Special Service District. This is located in Sevier County. They have a population of 210. They have recently acquired the Lizard Bench, Water Association, and this is for water system improvements, culinary water. The request is for $1 million grant. They have other funds, $5,000 from the applicant, $500,000 from Sevier County. They have a Division of Drinking Water grant, which is $2,269,000, and a $436,000 loan, 30-year, at 1.8. This is for spring exploration and renovation. It's a new well house, new storage tank, and a distribution system improvements. This water system, the Austin Water System Special Service District, was founded in 2009. Austin is an unincorporated community in Sevier County. It's just southeast of Elsinore. My question would be, what is the status of other funds? So the Division of Drinking Water, it is stated that they provide 84% in a grant, and if CIB provided 84% as a grant, it would be $840,000. In the public hearing, there were concerns about where the Special Service District received its $5,000 cash contribution to put towards this. Because I guess your John Q. Public wanted to query as to where that was coming from and what is the status of the other funds. And with that, it's a culinary water system improvement.
Okay, see if you can convince us. Be sure you introduce yourself.
My name is Kendall Torgerson. I'm a board member. SSD board in Sevier County, and first of all, just a little bit of background. Austin was established or built in about 1910 and 11, originally known as Frogtown. It's unincorporated, and since that time, the housing has stayed approximately the same as it's always been. Hasn't changed. The houses are still there in original condition, and the water connections, as I understand it, most take place in the town of Austin. There are other little areas that have, of course, sprung up and are a part of this, but constitute a very small group. Being the community that it is, it's not progressed very quickly. And it people that live there are in general, by my estimation at least, close to the poverty level, quite a lot of them. I have a responsibility to go into homes and to assist some people who have special needs. And in this past month, I've visited four homes in that little area that people were requesting help with things like wheelchair ramps to get into their house. And one individual had a problem with bathroom water and no hot water. So we're trying to work on and resolve those kinds of issues. He stated in our conversation, they said, I'm more broke than the Ten Commandments. And I thought, well, that's a good attitude to take. He at least has a sense of humor about it. But my point is, it's quite a poor area. It's people who do not have a high income. And we're trying as best we can to help these people. Now, there was an individual who came into one of our recent board meetings, an elderly man and a resident of Austin. And he, when it came time for public comment, he stepped up to the table and walked right up to the table right where we were sitting. And he said, I understand you're going to put in a new water system. He said, I have one bit of advice for you. Don't take on any debt. And then he left. He didn't stay to hear any more of the meeting. But I think he spoke for quite a few people in that area. Don't take on any debt because they are unable to pay more debt. They, in other words, what he was saying is, we would rather live without than improve our water quality. And apparently this past the state health found that our water was unfit to use at that time, so we have some remedying to do there. But I believe that, I would like to request that, and I appreciate your help in backing us up in this. I believe that, or I would like to request that we would be able to get funding without without a loan situation to add additional payment to these people's monthly bills. And as I said, I think they'd rather not do the project than go forward without that. Anyway, I appreciate your time and your concern and your support in these matters. Thank you.
If I might say just a couple more words to answer a couple of Candace's questions. Parker Versamack with Jones and DeMille Engineering. I've been working with Austin since a culinary water study in 2019, and we've really come a long ways. It is an area of many fixed income houses. We've tried to help the board restructure the system so that they can be functioning and bring in the money that they need to take care of their own maintenance and ongoing operation costs. As Kendall mentioned, we recently got bad news in a sanitary survey in October where we already knew that one of the spring collection areas was suffering from root intrusion and had some sanitary concerns. But the other part of the springs that we had hoped to not touch through this project and deal with on our own in a 10 to 15 year plan, but it has immediate needs as well and failed the sanitary survey. There was a mention of the lizard bench area. We've incorporated them into the system, but their current tank has been covered with ag bag or a tarp, for lack of a better way, to keep the water out of it. It's been an area that's suffered some tough times, and we're hopeful with the current project that we can remedy these situations. We do have the drinking water funding available to us, and that's still on the table. We're at about a 90% design right now on the engineering side, and we're coordinating with the BLM for a new tank right-of-way site so we can build a new tank. And then we're also coordinating with the Forest Service for the work on the springs. And once those permits are finished, we'll be able to move forward with bidding the project. As we've started to round out some of the drinking water concerns, I've already mentioned the spring, the lower springs needing recollected and addressed there. The state, where we've taken on the lizard bench system, the state drinking water will not let us view it as one system, even though it's operated by one person and it's all one system right now. But because they're not physically connected, we can't call them one system. So Austin is essentially taking on double the monthly tests, the chlorine residuals, the lead and copper that comes out every couple of years. And so part of this additional ask is not only for that other spring collection area that needs redeveloped, but also an additional piping segment to connect these systems physically and allow them to operate it as one contiguous system rather than two systems side by side that are physically disconnected. And then also, we've suffered just like everybody else from the high inflation over the last year and a half. And as we're rounding out the bid and getting ready to go to bid, we've realized that we just don't have the funds available to complete the project as needed. And the reason for the grant, to piggyback on Kendall's comments and comments we received at the public hearing, the $115,000 loan, over 95 connections. is roughly a $4 a month rate increase. The board raised rates it's about 6 months ago now that they raised rates, and we've restructured the rates so that there is no base gallons. It's you pay for every gallon that goes through your meters, and part of this was to hold the base rate a little bit lower and facilitate fixed income houses that use less than, some of them use less than 2,000 gallons a month. And in those cases, they would benefit from a lower base rate. But those that use the standard amount of 10,000 to 20,000 would pay near $45 a month, and thus raising the average water bill significantly on most people. Some bills in the summertime are over $100, and so that's the board has been proactive in that sense. The other reason for the grant is also to become self-sustainable moving forward. We don't want to be back here 5 years from now asking for another $500,000 project because we weren't able to get it all done today, or because we spent every penny we had today and had to raise rates again. But then we can't do our ongoing operation and maintenance. And then one last thing that I wanted to mention that I should have mentioned first is we wanted to excuse our board chairman, Chad Outson. He had planned to be here and had an emergency come up early this week. But we do have two other board members sitting behind me that are here and wanted to help represent the district. So with that, we'll turn it back to you, Chair.
And your... status of your other cash?
Yeah, your other... So the $5,000 that is coming out of the general fund. If I remember right, there's roughly $40,000 in there. That will be budgeted. Not knowing the timeline of the project, it hasn't been budgeted yet, but it's there, and it's been more or less an understanding that it would be earmarked for the time that the project came out and then put into the budget officially at that time. So if we're able to bid in June, then it'll fall into this year. But if it goes, into July, it'll fall into the next fiscal year budget. The county is currently, they have their $500,000 set aside, and they are currently paying all the upfront project costs. So they've paid all the engineering fees, all the permitting to date, and other project costs as we've incurred them. And then once we close on the loan, the cash remaining from their side will go into the escrow with the Division of Drinking Water.
Okay, Mr. Torgerson, I've heard it said, if you run into a Torgerson any place in Utah, they came from Sevier County.
They are.
Is that correct?
Could be.
Okay.
I got the genealogy lesson this morning on the way up, and that sounds pretty accurate.
Yeah, Gary will be surprised when I tell him that we've got three or four Torgersons in San Juan County. So that's a good thing.
They're my relatives. I know them.
All right. Very good. Questions, Laura?
Yeah, thank you. So the total project costs in your application is a little over $4 million. So you need the state drinking water grant and loan in order to afford the project. That's correct?
That's correct.
And so the portion of the state drinking water funding that came in form of a loan, $436,000, what does that do to the rates of the residents in the community with your new rate structure? Like, how much has that repaying that loan, how much has that changed people's payments?
Yeah, so the state drinking water, if I remember the numbers right, we're asking for between $7 and $10 per month on the average water bill. We've had those discussions, and that was part of the rate increase that we did go through. There still is a potential for another rate increase once we approach the loan closing with drinking water. That number's still pending.
Okay.
Other questions? Yes.
So as I was reading here, it says distribution improvements to include 1,600 linear feet of 4-inch water pipe. Help me out here. Why 4-inch? You need larger than that for fire.
Yeah, and maybe the terminology is not quite right on that description. The 4-inch line is the spring transmission line. The springs are roughly 7 miles away from the tanks, and half of the pipeline was replaced in a 2012 project. The other half of the project, or the other half of the pipeline, is aged and deficient. And due to the location of the new proposed tank, we need to replace at least 1,600 feet of it where it'll be pressurized again at that point, so that we're not pressurizing an aged pipeline that's prone to failure.
So it's transmission, not distribution.
Correct. There will be no connections at that point.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Nagy.
Thank you. So first of all, your name is Austin. Why are you not going to Texas to get help?
We'll go there next.
How old is this system, the water system that you're talking about? And do you have any maintenance, annual maintenance or semi-annual maintenance program? Because you shouldn't wait this long to find any contamination inspection to see you have problem.
That's a great comment. The board, much of the maintenance is performed by volunteers, by the board members typically, in conjunction with their water operator. There's, for several years now, there's been an ongoing field trip to the spring sites to pull out root wads and jet them and clean them and chlorinate them. And it's getting to the point that maintenance alone is no longer sufficient. And they've mowed around the springs as well. And from my professional opinion and standpoint, I feel like their level of maintenance and the ability to hold the willows back and the roots back has been exceeded now by the thriving willows, and the Division of Drinking Water has been aware of the problem for several years as well and monitoring it. And at the sanitary survey this year, they let us know that's no longer a feasible approach. We do need to do a full redevelopment. The rest of the system has been maintained as much as possible. Breaks are fixed, and at times loan is taken on for those in small fashions and taken care of as quickly as possible. Part of a big portion of this project, the tank I'd mentioned that's in disrepair, that's part of the lizard bench system that was nearing complete failure, both on the distribution side, the source side, and the storage tank. And the Division of Drinking Water supported this project, the county supported this project, to regionalize that area from a private water company of 30 connections into a special service district of 95 connections, and hopefully remedy the situation for long-term supervision and oversight. Commissioner Brown has offered some great oversight within the Austin Special Service District, but once you cross the boundary into a private water company, the county and others don't have as much say. And so all of this is part of this new vision to address your question specifically on the long-term approach.
And I know that Mr. Torgerson said that he doesn't like the loan. Nobody does. And every one of you would like to come and ask for the grant and even more. But what if there's a loan attached to this particular request? Have you discussed the payment or repayment of the loan?
We did. And the tool, the median, I believe, is the $115,000. We discussed that while it could be a possibility, we would need to hold another public hearing and discuss this with the SSD and receive some more public comment. Knowing that even when we presented it originally with the hopes of getting 100% grant, there was still some opposition and people that came out and expressed that additional loan would be a burden. And that's part of why we didn't go back to drinking water to extend the current funding package with them with the same terms as knowing that additional loan is an additional burden that may be beyond what the special service district can afford. We would appreciate anything that you can do to help us in this situation, and I'm saying that speaking on behalf of the board. If you could consider the grant, that would certainly be the most helpful in our situation.
One more question. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I apologize. On your special engineering services, under that category, you have $85,000. What does that include? That's, to me, it is a very high number as a consulting engineer.
Yeah, so included in the special engineering services would be our structural engineering for the tank,
okay.
The geotechnical engineering for both the tank, and there's a There's a component where we're crossing the Sevier River, and so we did geotechnical work there as well. So that's the bulk of, that is the special engineering, is the structural engineering and the geotechnical work.
And that includes your contingency of what percent? 10%, 15%?
So this ask is to get our contingency back to 20%.
20%. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Mr. Brown.
Thank you. So I've been a county commissioner for 6 years. I've been involved with the Austin Special Service District for a better part of that. And I was asked to sit on that board as a non-voting member. When I became a part of that, they completely dissolved the board and realigned and changed the board to get it functioning properly via the state request. Also, the state put a lot of positive pressure and encouragement for us to absorb the lizard bench because they were unable to receive any funding or to be a part of any grant or any opportunity for loans, whereas a private water company and where they were strapped, like you say, with a tank with ag bag on it. A lot of these areas you'll see will be improved fire suppression systems. It's a no-brainer. It's a great project. Realization of the whole area around that is just a positive thing. It's been a great thing to be involved with. Parker Jones DeMille's done a fabulous job. These new board members have been nothing but supportive, and they're volunteer, and they spend a lot of time on their own behalf and do things. So just appreciate. We already have a loan from the state drinking water, so an additional loan would really put this little area in a tough spot.
Okay, we're going to come to you in a minute.
Yeah.
All right, Dean
okay.
Baker.
What I'd like to see, and as I was looking here on the minimum up to the maximum, if you could take on the maximum and just put in a 0% interest and come up with what that payment would be. I kind of tried to calculate it, but I'm always off. So just a zero interest with the same amount on loan. And that'd be on the max one we're doing.
$4,000.
Yeah, that's what I came up with. Okay. I just was trying to figure two numbers. I see their plight. I'm totally with that. I was just trying to figure between minimum and maximum what the difference would be. And I come up with, on that max, with the 0% of $3.80 a month would be additional to their payment. Right now, in the minimum, would be $2.92. So you're looking 88 cents between the minimum to the maximum if we did a loan on it. So I just was trying to come up. I mean, trying to break these numbers down to what, and they said number of households, so I just took that and divided that. By that yearly payment, and then divided that by 12 to get the monthly payment. And so you are looking at $3.80 to $2.92 if we were to put some loan. And I always feel like, not to be critical, because I think they need the grant money, but I really feel like put a little bit of loan. I'm good with the minimum, but that would then just make it, that would be $100,000 over 30 years at 0%, which would be that $2.92 on per home.
So you're talking between the minimum and the maximum?
No, I'm talking 30, the minimum.
$30,000.
I'm talking to go with the minimum.
You're going with the minimum?
Yeah, because I wanted to see what the maximum would be. I mean, it's 80 cents okay. a month, which is...
You've
enough return really for to the CIB and on the loan. But
you've just qualified yourself as a substitute teacher in math at UNDA High School.
I never claimed to be.
Good job, Dean.
I never claimed to be that.
I'm a former school teacher myself.
So I'm just throwing that out because I think there ought I think there needs to be a little bit of skin in the game.
Okay.
I think most of it needs to be in grant. They are definitely hurt. And so
got one more rebuttal down here.
Shannon Heaps. I was representing the Lizard Bench area. We was my wife and I were the operators. My wife had the operator position of the Lizard Bench, maintaining the system there with the 30 households we had up there. lack of pressure from the tank was incredible. There's homes that had less than 20 PSI, you know, at their household site. And that's, you know, way below state recommendations, let alone the lack of fire suppression system in that whole area. And then and trying to maintain that system, you know, was beyond the capabilities of 29 households. In fact, we incorporated a chlorinated system in it a few years back, which was a $1,600 to each household that we had to pay out to get that incorporated in, which is a continual maintenance project in itself, yeah. Trying to maintain that with the well that we was using it out of. And so eliminating the tank, which is dilapidated besides the leaks from the heat, heating it up and causing problems continually throughout the summer with bacterial contents, the leakage around the system. The lines supplying the system up there are totally inadequate. With the rate increase that we had previously, it definitely affected a lot of the elderly individuals in that area. And they're definitely opposed to any more rate increase. And the system cannot function without having the increase in the whole system to be designed where the incorporation of the Lizard Bench went into the Austin Special Service District. So with that being said, it's going to be very difficult to present it to the public saying that we have to incorporate a larger loan to them. I know Austin still has a loan outstanding that they have or are paying on now, and to incorporate another loan to them which hasn't been replenished over this period of time would be devastating to a lot of people, to say the least. You know, there are individuals that are functioning properly, but out there, but it is a large retirement community with a lot of people that are definitely opposed to anything else. They're definitely opposed to change because of I've been here for 50 years is a comment of no need change now. Why am I changing it now, you know, which is not understandable because it has to be done. You know, just trying to incorporate more into the system and definitely having the protection that we need up in that area and the protection along the West Havens, the other part of the district that needs to be done without having fire protection. Most of them running on wells as it is with due to a household. So it's definitely a project that needs to happen, but the funding is what we would definitely appreciate, and thank you for listening to our comments on this.
Board's getting fired up here, Jack.
A couple of questions. Is there an economic difference in terms of the type of households and stuff between Lizard Bench and Austin?
Not significantly.
You were going like this, and I thought...
Not significantly, no. A lot of it is the same.
Go ahead. It's hard for me to talk. I'm here to support him.
Thank you.
Okay, Commissioner Bartholomew. Jack's got one more.
Capital replacement fund. I was looking for that in your budgeting. What is your capital replacement fund? How much are you accruing in your capital replacement fund? Or do you have one?
I don't think that they have one. They operate with a general budget right now. As we move forward and get this project taken care of, that's certainly an important part of looking forward and budgeting for capital replacement of this project, of the previous project that's underway, and then just moving forward in general. And again, the more grant that we're able to receive today would help us in that capital replacement fund to focus on that moving forward as well.
I'd be a little bit sounding argumentative. It's more than very important.
It is.
It's essential.
It is.
And I'd be willing to make a motion or support a motion if I didn't make it to go with what you've asked for. If there was a significant commitment, like contractual commitment, that you were to put what would be a payment, this isn't going to sound good to you, but the amount of what would be a payment in loan in your capital improvement if we were to add loan to it. So it's still going to cost you money, but at least it's going into something that's going to have a longer term benefit, maybe, if you can commit to that. It may mean going back to your board, but that's how strongly I feel about having a capital improvement part of your budget. Or you've just got to figure out how to raise rates in a way that will support that. And at $4 a month or $3 a month or something, at least you're starting down that trail. I hesitate to get that far into your business, but at the same time, I feel for you. And then the last question I had, the percent of the total project is about 25% that would be CIB funded in whatever form it would come, if I saw that right.
Right. 24, yep.
Will this provide fire flow, enhance your fire flow, and how much of that's going to be in pipe 8-inch storage as versus your tank?
So the fire suppression storage in the tank will be 60,000 gallons, and then there are, as Shannon's pointed out, the Lizard Bench area does not have fire hydrants, or if they do, they don't have fire hydrants that meet the 1,000 gallons per minute minimum. There's also, and Shannon pointed this out, and I should have mentioned this, but this may be too far into the weeds, but there are several houses that are below the state minimum pressure and currently. So as part of this, the tank would go to higher elevation and not only meet the minimum pressure requirements, but also still supply the minimum fire requirements there. So we would provide that to the entire system and remedy those situations where it's an issue currently.
In terms of the budget, the construction budget, what percent is being applied to the Lizard Bench versus the Austin?
It's probably 30-40% of the project for Lizard Bench, associated with the tank, the distribution system, and now also the loop line to connect them back to the Austin proper system.
And then what's the percentage of hookups between Lizard Bench and Austin?
They'd be a little more than a third of the system.
Lizard Bench.
Lizard Bench.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, Commissioner Bartholomew.
Thank you for your indulgence.
And Jack, was that a motion?
No.
Okay.
I said I'd be willing to support when I make it.
So, as I've listened to the conversation back and forth and everything, and being from a very small community also, I've been to Austin. I realize the economics there. They're ranchers, they're farmers, they're older homes. They are not second homes. It's an essential project, and I would make the motion that we award them the $1 million grant that they're asking for, because they've also got this other division of drinking water with a loan attached to it. And I also would encourage you to get those funds built up for your maintenance and stuff.
I'll second your motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
Come up with the reason we're going away. The exemption.
Financial hardship.
Financial hardship on that.
Okay. Have it be a part of your motion.
I'm telling you, if you've got 210 households, you just can't afford it. I've been the mayor. I've been in this situation. You just can't. CIB is the only logical funding source for these type of projects. Plain simple.
Appreciate that. I tried to see Austin from Monticello, but it's so small, it's kind of hard for me. But I'll take your word for it. It's there.
Well, okay. anybody that's named Frogtown and Lizard Bench.
I was thinking the same thing.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
Chair, can I make one clarification? I just want to clarify. So you said you encouraged them to build up a pot of funding for ongoing capital maintenance. Is that an encouragement or is it a requirement?
No, that's an encouragement.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, yes. Coming to the motion. You're very compelling, but there's a lot of people in the state that pay far more than $41 a month for 10,000 gallons of water. We have a district in my county that pays $80 for 8,000 gallons. That's the base rate. And, you know, I don't know if you've been without water, but people are pretty happy to pay $80 to get 8,000 gallons of water in my county.
We understand. It's been a very good increase in ours previously. You know, moved from Lizard Bench where we was allocated $30,000 for a lot less. I mean, $30,000 for a lot less, but since being incorporated into the Austin Special Service District, you know, my bill is well over $100 a month with where we're at now. And I, you know, minimal uses. I, you know, try to grow a garden and do those things like that, which incorporates a lot more of the usage out of it. But for some of these elderly people that are single widows that are using less than 5,000 gallons a month, and you want them to pay $80 a month for 5,000 gallons is not acceptable to them.
Well, and it wasn't acceptable to our residents either, but they still will pay the $80 to get the water. So yeah. I would just echo what's been said. Find a way to capture some more revenue and put it in your rainy day fund so that you can maintain your system ongoing.
That'd be part of it. Appreciate that.
Dean.
Chairman, I'd like to do a substitute motion to the minimum of $100,000 in loan, $900,000 in grant with 0%. That increases them $2.92 a month. Puts a little skin in the game. I feel like they went a long time without really doing what they should have done. This will make them step up to the plate. And so that's my motion.
Okay, that's the math teacher, and we have a second down here.
So I defer. He is a surveyor, so he's good at numbers.
Oh, he is? He's not good at numbers, huh?
Used to survey now.
Okay.
Retired.
So we're dealing with the substitute motion. We'll take a roll call vote.
The substitute motion for Austin Community Special Service District is to authorize a $100,000 loan, 30-year at 0%, and a $900,000 grant. Made by Mayor Baker and Ms. Hansen. Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
No.
Commissioner Lytle?
No.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Pass.
Commissioner Taylor?
No.
Commissioner Adams?
No.
Mr. Zanotti?
Yes.
That motion fails.
Did you vote?
I can't vote. Until next.
I just slapped my hand.
Substitute motion. I'd like to think of add another one. That we do as requested, but require, if we can, and this is, I saw a head shake if you know where I'm headed. In terms of the capital improvement fund?
I don't think you can't.
Okay.
It's not an application form.
Just encourage.
But yeah, on that note.
You can encourage.
We will visit about that and put a plan together.
As a board member, we will definitely.
Jack, that's not as easy as making your kids put money in their savings account.
So we'll take a roll call vote on these.
I'll say the encouragement can be officially part of the motion,
yes.
But it can't be a requirement.
All right, thank you.
We're going back to the original motion.
Yes.
Okay, we'll go back to the original motion, roll call vote.
The original motion was to authorize, as requested, the $1 million grant with the financial hardship exemption with an encouragement to establish a maintenance fund and perhaps increase the water. Cost?
Mr. Chairman,
encourage.
Could we clarify something, Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
You said you cannot vote.
I'm not confirmed yet at the Senate.
Oh, sorry, I forgot. I forgot.
On the 12th.
April Fool's Day's passed already. You
on the 12th.
Already.
We're waiting on the legislature again.
Yes. Government works slow.
Okay.
But it's a yes.
Hey.
Put me down for both yes.
Can we put that as a contingency? Yes.
This is for the original vote. Ms. Hansen?
Yes, I'm sympathetic to your situation. I would strongly encourage a capital maintenance program.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes, with the emphasis of increasing your rates to support what your capital improvement above. And
Jack,
when you're done, I got a question. It's a yes.
Just vote.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes, and can I make one comment?
No.
No?
Yes, go ahead.
Increase yearly just a little bit so that it's not all at once.
Yeah.
From a former mayor.
Yeah, strategically, for sure.
Commissioner Adams.
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti.
I contributed the first seed money.
Appreciate it.
Wait, you already gave that to our fund?
Oh, sorry. Take it back.
And that motion passes unanimously
with the
codicil that you increase your rates.
And the exemption?
Is financial hardship.
Okay. And the other part of that was on the rate side of it. I concur with the commissioner from Garfield County. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So that passes, right?
Yes.
Congratulations. Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service. You bet. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
I'll tell all my Torgerson friends that we met with you, Kendall.
Tell Jason I said hi.
All right. Well,
it don't matter who's in Austin. Bruce Adams is still the king.
Those Torgersons are all over the place down in Garfield County.
Yeah. Okay, Candace, our next one.
Number three on the agenda today is the town of Leamington for their culinary system, water system improvements. Their request is for a $2 million grant and a $750,000 loan, 30-year at 1%, which is outside the dual range. This project consists of drilling a new backup well, new well house, 9,000 linear feet of 6-inch, various sizes of culinary line. The CIB received an application for funding on a maintenance building in February 22. They have started that, but they have not requested any reimbursements for that. They will soon, but they've incurred costs. So this is a good public hearing. Last summer, the water system was providing 60 gallon per minute, and it what is required for the town is 200 gallons per minute. My question would be, has any other funding been accommodated through the Division of Drinking Water, the U.S. Department of Agriculture? These are all named in your public hearing minutes. The imminent Community Water Assistance Grants Program, or Chris Stewart's Community Project Funding Program. The public hearing spoke about a $400,000 emergency fund. The applicant is contributing $250,000 applicant cash. What is the status of that cash? That's it.
Okay, if you'll introduce yourself and see what you can do.
Well, I'm grateful to be here today again. The reason why we are a little bit tardy on starting our maintenance and storage building, we got all the footings poured for the foundation and then winter hit. And so we thought we'd get a new foundation poured on the 1st of March, and then we got 4 inches of snow. And then we thought we would get it on the 1st of April, and then another 4 inches right on the 3rd. So we're hoping that within 2 weeks it'll dry out enough where we can get concrete trucks around there without sinking them up through their axles. So anyway, so we're looking forward to getting on that. The building's all been prefabbed and everything, so we're just ready to get a foundation in so they can put the building up, and that would be awesome. We'd have that project done.
You're talking about the town hall, right?
Now, this is the maintenance and storage building that we got funded last year. They were just asking about it, just commented on it, that we have that money still outstanding that we haven't accessed yet. I'd like to start out just basically by thanking everybody. I was thinking about this, that we sit up here and we talk, we give out all our stuff, but we never thank you people for participating on the board and giving you your time to come here and go ahead and participate. So I'd just like to thank you all for your efforts and your, you know, coming here and participating on the Community Impact Board.
We record these meetings, so we need to know who you are, so we can say you're
right.
Welcome.
Okay, well, I'm Russ Finlinson, and I'm the mayor of Leamington, Utah. This is Clark Nielsen. He's the past mayor of Leamington, Utah, but he's my ears for today. So therefore, when somebody, I have a hard time hearing somebody talk, then he can go ahead maybe and tell me what's being said. Because he heard it real well. But I'd like to kind of break it into three segments so that I've been listening here and see if I can address all of your concerns. 2 years ago, the Division of Drinking Water funded a Culinary Water Master Plan for us, and that identified about a little over $4 million worth of improvements that needed to be made to the Leamington Town water system. Some of those improvements are, like we said, a backup well, and the backup well is kind of important to us. Most of you know that in the last 10 years, we've had three major fires come through our watershed area. The first one was the Clay Springs fire, which burned over 100,000 acres. And right after that went through our spring area, then we had major rainfall after that, and that washed out 400 feet of our culinary water system off the springs, and so we had to get that replaced, and that was over $100,000. Unfortunately, we had those funds on hand in order to make that happen. Since then, we in 2015, we accomplished a $500,000 upgrade to the springs to go ahead and bring two more springs online, plus go ahead and rehab the springs that were there by clearing away all the vegetation and putting fencing around those springs to go ahead and try and protect them. Subsequent to that, you know, 2 years ago we had the canal fire, which was a major fire. It was just like a blowtorch that came through. We had to evacuate the town of Leamington, and it burned off every telephone pole. It would burn up all any wooden fence. It burned all the corrals down. It went ahead, and it actually burned all the ties out of the railroad track, where for 3 days they had to go through and replace like every fourth tie, and then they could only run the trains at 20 miles an hour through. And then when those would get through, they'd come and replace every third tie and every second tie. And so that was a major. So we're in a situation where we've had those two major fires and a third fire that's burned off the watershed. The fire went ahead, the second one put so much ash up in our spring collection area that it actually filled up a storage tank totally full of ash. And so, therefore, that cut out the whole spring system. Our well is 6 years old, and it went ahead and it decreased its output from 400 gallons per minute to 2 years ago during the summer, it was 90 gallons per minute. The springs, due to the drought, went ahead and went from 260 gallons a minute to 60 gallons per minute, which allowed us to only have 150 gallons per minute of water, and the town requires about 200 gallons per minute of water. The storage tank situation is that we need build a new 200,000 gallon storage tank. And I talked before about 50 years ago when my dad was mayor, they put in a 40,000 gallon rail car for a storage tank. We wanted to replace that rail car. I'm not really sure that rail car has ever been cleaned out in 50 years. So we wanted to replace that with a 200,000 gallon storage tank. So give us adequate fire flow protection going in. And that was one of the things that was identified, that we don't have enough emergency water storage and enough fire flow protection. The one segment of the line, which is an 8-inch line that's run into a 12-inch line, needs to be replaced to give us adequate fire flow protection. When our tanks get down below 50% on the hills, the people that are on the second elevation in Leamington lose pressure. And so we know real fast when we have a well problem or a water problem, when a well is not producing enough water, because they lose pressure on the hill and we start getting called real quick. And to show you how critical that is about not having adequate water supply from the wells, 2 days before the canal fire hit, we lost a relay on the well and it shut down, and the tanks went down below 50%. So we went ahead and it took a day to replace the relay, get the relay to replace it. And that was on Friday, and we pumped water all Friday and Saturday to replenish the tanks, and then the canal fire hit and took out the power for 9 hours. And the well doesn't have an emergency generator on it, so therefore we had no way to go ahead and supply water during that 9-hour session when the power was out. So our sole purpose was to go ahead and, number one, replace the 6-year-old well, which we pulled totally apart. We run cameras down it and found that all the perforations had been calcified and rusted over. And when we talked to the state engineer, he recommended not going down and try to clean that because he thought we would damage the casings on it. So we applied for an emergency water grant, which was just received from the USDA for $1 million. So we got $1 million grant, and we're in the process now of replacing our primary well and getting that done. The specs will go out for bid on that here just shortly, within 2 weeks. We'll have the specs done to go out and get a driller to start coming in to drill a well. So we were grateful for that. We got bad information last fall because we were going to apply to the Division of Drinking Water before coming here before this board. And they said that they had no money to use for grant money. And therefore, it would be better to apply after the legislature met, that they might have more money to apply for grant funds to go ahead and give us. So we applied to the Division of Drinking Water in February, but that hearing is not until May the 16th that we go before the Division of Drinking Water to try and go ahead and talk about funds. When I was here like 3 years ago, I think Holden came before this board, and the first question that was asked is, have you gone to anybody else to try and get funds? And they said no. And you kind of said, well, come back and see us when you have. And so therefore, I was hoping that we would be before the Division of Drinking Water already. So we talked about the situation where we could slide this particular portion maybe back to the June time frame or something like this, where we would have met with the Division of Drinking Water and be able to see what funding they would give us prior to coming to you to go ahead and finalize what the CIB, because the CIB has been so good to the town of Leamington that we wanted to go ahead and make sure that we accessed all funding. We put in for the COVID-19 grant money, and we didn't get, I don't think we were so far down on the list that we never got even considered for that money at the time. So that's how that kind of went.
We don't fund anything before June 1st.
Pardon?
We don't fund anything until June 1st.
That's correct.
And that'll be after?
That'll be after our meeting with Division of Drinking Water, right?
Right.
Okay. Then that would be great. So
do we need a motion?
I've analyzed.
Pending. You could put it on the pending list pending. And then.
No.
No.
Just
no.
Put it on the priority
yeah,
list.
Yeah.
And then well, I mean, yeah, the priority list.
Funded until
yeah.
we approve it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it will too. Whatever you
want to fund it. So if we put it on the
priority list.
You can come back in June when we fund the projects,
right?
And tell us what you've got from drinking water,
yes.
And then we could consider it after that.
Or put
yes,
it on, or put it on the next list if for some reason something hangs up with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, could we just table it until
can we table this one?
No. Well, let's put it on the
priority list.
Well, but is that going to make it so that drinking water won't want to fund them?
That's my
no, because you haven't funded no. them yet. They know that we discuss them and they discuss them, but they haven't funded anything.
We're yet. Speaking to the merit today, not necessarily. We have to be aware of the funding.
Sure.
But
right.
Okay, so I'll make right. that motion then that we put it on the priority list. Is that what you're saying?
Everything that you discussed today is placed.
On everything list. You discussed today is placed on the priority list. You haven't funded anything. You discuss what you would do. But they can come back on the June 1 meeting with whatever they've gotten from the Division of Drinking Water, and we can amend our give then or not give it.
This won't have any effect on okay
mm-hmm. on the
I'll,
drinking so, water decision.
Mm-mm.
That's what we're.
I'll make that motion then.
Well,
we need to discuss, though, just like any other one. We need to discuss to see
and
what.
And I don't think he's done yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to decide how you would fund it.
Okay.
Chairman, comment.
Chairman, question. So, one of the things we used to always get when we had water applications coming in, we get something from drinking water. Are we not getting that anymore?
It's in the packet.
In the packet?
Yeah.
I didn't see it. I went through mine and
it's there.
So I didn't. That's was my question.
It showed up late. When did you look at yours?
Yeah,
Tuesday or Monday.
It's there now. It's in your packet.
Yeah. Oh, so I just.
But it's right here.
Yeah.
This is the scroll up, right?
So mad. Yeah, that was one of my other questions. Is I'm so used to seeing those that.
Yeah.
Okay, I apologize. I guess I should have.
We've got the math guy all messed up.
Yeah. You do. Well, yeah, and I didn't really. After I downloaded everything on Tuesday, I drove Wednesday and other things, and I thought I had it. It would be nice if you could send us out that we've updated, or just a little quick message.
So they have been overwhelmed with people, and so they didn't get it to me until like Tuesday.
So, well,
just check.
Okay, I think Nagy wants to hear the rest of the presentation.
The rest of the story.
The rest of the story. Nagy, Paul Harvey.
Okay, so the rest of the story. Just want to talk about finances real quickly. I know we've got some new board members. As you might know, Leamington's a real small rural community. So we have 112 water connections is what we have. Okay, 88 of those are domestic, you know, homes. Basically, to get the $1 million USDA water grant, we had to contribute $220,000. So that reduced the amount of money we had in our funds in order to go ahead and maintain. I've analyzed our finances as much as I can analyze them to remain fiscally sound, okay? Then I look at the fact that we cannot go ahead and take on any more debt other than $1 million, you know, to go ahead and be fiscally sound. To give the $250,000, that takes us right down to what I've determined is our absolute minimum rainy day fund or emergency fund that, well, if something happens to us, that we could go ahead and fix whatever we need to be fixed, which I think is $400,000. I have no faith in the federal government or state water people that next year they can't come down and tell me that I need to put a water treatment plant on my system, which they've already told me. And that's because we have the spring flow coming out at 260 gallons per minute, but they just sent me a letter saying that I have to eliminate one of my major springs, you know, which is 60 gallons per minute due to the fact that they say I have surface water intrusion into that spring. So we had to cut that spring totally out of our system, which significantly reduced our water flow coming out of the springs. So we asked, what do we have to do to get that spring back online, bring that spring back online? And their response was to install a water treatment system in order to go ahead and bring that spring back online or come up with some other means to go ahead and try to eliminate the surface water intrusion into the spring. So therefore, that's the reason why I feel that I have to maintain a reasonable rainy day fund or emergency fund in order to go ahead and take care of that stuff. They just require us, like I mentioned last time, they require us to do a daily chlorine check on the water system now. I could not convince them to be able that we could do it weekly until we got a hit and then go to daily. They said, no, we have to do daily. That cost me $12,000 a year in resources to do that. And our budget, yearly budget is $150,000 a year to go ahead and run the town on and pay all the utilities and any salaries and stuff like this. So therefore, that's a significant impact to the budget, is to do those daily chlorine checks. So therefore, part of this project is to automate that chlorine reading system, which the engineers say is about $150,000 to do that. We need to go ahead and change out all the meters from analog to digital to go ahead and be able to have some sort of remote reading on them that we can go ahead and determine immediate leaks to conserve water out of our system to be able to do that. And we need to meter the lines in order to go ahead and be able to do that, determine if we got leakage in the lines, which currently we can't determine. So my goal is to go ahead and fix the water system once and for all. And I know what I can afford to go ahead and be able to try and do that. We currently have just under $400,000 worth of loans currently outstanding, which costs the town $28,000 a year to go ahead and pay those loans. So therefore, $750,000 loan, I'm not really sure what the annual payment on that is, but I'm figuring that I can only afford like $30,000 more a year in water payments, loan payments, to be able to run the town and go ahead and keep our head above water.
Okay. Good presentation. Thank you.
Question, Mr.
Do we have questions or comments?
Questions, I would like to.
All right, Nagi.
Mayor, first of all, I am so impressed with your knowledge of your community, knowledge of your system, the numbers, the calculation. You don't even have engineers sitting next to you dictating to you what to say. Yes, you have the mayor next to you from the previous year. He's impressed. I was watching him. Like, he didn't remember all these numbers that you just mentioned to us. It is impressive. Thank you for doing your homework.
I appreciate that, sir.
Thank you for being so honest with us, to saying that that's what I have, that's what I want. But my question from is, what is your current water rate, and when was the last time you increased it for your community?
Our current water rate is, we go ahead and we pay $33 a month for the first 10,000 gallons.
Okay.
After that, it's on a $1.60 per gallon above the 10,000 gallons. So the annual revenue runs right between $60,000 and $70,000 that we get from the water system. We lease funds to Magnum Resources. Okay, and our current payment on that is about $81,000 a year, right over, a little over $81,000 a year, because we have 728 acre feet of water that we can draw from, and we lease 683 feet of that to Magnum Resources. They're the ones that are drilling all the gas caverns and drilling the hydrogen caverns out there now. When I discussed with Magnum how there's obviously a finite end to that lease, you know. So there's ACES 1, and if you read in the paper, they're trying to get ACES 2 and ACES 3, you know, and get the funding to continue getting more caverns in the ground to go ahead and store the hydrogen in. But they feel that that's a 10-year drop-dead date. You know, that they figure that they could go ahead and contract with us for 10 years to lease our water for 10 years to drill those caverns. So I'm looking at that, that if I could go ahead and negotiate $100,000 a year for 10 years, that's $1 million that we would be able to come in and go ahead and support the loan structure that we would have. And if something absolutely happened, we would be able to clear our debt, pay off that debt, you know, and not have the... Because we don't have any other money coming into town of Limington other than a few receptions and weddings that comes into our town hall. Okay. So that's where I'm, that's where we're at. I know that I've got a drop dead date. And if these ACES 2 and ACES 3 do not get approved, then 2025 is my end of my contract with Magnum Resources. It's 2025. So I have a payment in 2024, and I'm pretty sure I have one in 2025 that would give me another $160,000 worth of revenue, but other than whatever. I look at that we get $51,000 worth of sales tax this year, this last year, but with the, you know, recession perhaps, I look at that, that that was an increase from about 40,000 to 51,000. And I think that was the post-COVID spending that went on. But I look at that, I'm only budgeting back to the 40,000, you know, this next year, because I don't think with any recession that we'll have that spending going on, that big surge of sales tax revenue coming in. So I'm going to lose $10,000 to $12,000 worth of sales tax revenue this coming year. And other than that, we just have property taxes of about $8,000. So
you answered the three other questions that I have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Greg Miles.
Thank you, Mayor. I noticed on your application, it's, the assessment was that you have about $650,000 of remaining debt capacity. yet you've asked or made a request for $750,000.
Well, we look at that. I look at what my maximum I can pay off due to the fact that I've got the Magnum Resources money coming in. Okay, so I'm looking at what is my maximum that I can go ahead and that I feel that I can reasonably have.
So you could make up the difference of that $100,000 through revenue or other sources.
We feel we can go ahead and make that difference up in the first couple of years as a loan, any loan that we would go ahead and get, you know, type of thing, that we would be able to do that. I'm looking at the fact that I would love to be able to go ahead and if we have a real banking crisis, go ahead and use our money that we have in the bank to pay any loan off, pay off the $396,000 that we owe right now, right? And go ahead and not have that debt outstanding over the heads of the citizens of Leamington, you know. So, anyway.
Okay. Thank you. Have other questions?
I have a couple.
Okay. Jack?
How many residents, again, on your system?
We have 88.
And I know it was in the notes.
We have 256 people in town. So, okay.
And then on the emergency, I couldn't tell in your application, but you brought up the fact that you didn't have emergency power for your pumps.
No, we don't. But on the new well,
it will.
There will have emergency generator on that, and on the backup system that we're hoping to install, then we'll have a generator on that also. Okay. It's just my feeling that we are this far behind Lindell, Utah. When Lindell lost their well just recently, you know, we were tankering water to the citizens of Lindell, okay? If we are in the middle of summer and we lose our well and we can't flip a switch on a backup well and provide water to our system, then, you know, 60 gallons per minute coming out of the springs might be able to flush toilets, maybe. You know, that's what I'm looking at. But our people on the hill would lose their water pressure.
Okay, and you're looking for a 200,000-gallon new tank?
A 200,000-gallon new tank will go ahead and provide adequate fire flow according to the Water Master Plan and sufficient emergency storage of water.
And it'll be chlorinated?
That water? The water that comes from the spring comes through a chlorinator that goes into the tanks. And then we have to pump the well water coming back up, and that is not chlorinated. That goes into the tank that already has the chlorination that comes from the spring water.
So how do you maintain your residual chlorine by the time you're distributing it? Or is that what drinking water is giving you a hard time about? Because where I'm headed with it is, on a 200,000-gallon tank, you've got to keep so many feet for your water, for your fire protection. But if you don't have enough flow, meaning people using enough water to keep it circulating enough to retain your chlorine residual,
right?
You've already thought of those things. You're working those in. I just don't want to go.
Well, we've been doing daily.
I don't want to buy a pig and a poke in the sense of giving you money if those kind of things haven't been worked out.
Right. We have. Our daily chlorine checks have shown that the residual has been fine for over a year.
Drinking water is challenging you, though.
Pardon?
Drinking water is challenging you, though, it sounds like.
So we haven't had a problem maintaining any residual chlorine through the end of our system, okay? We don't think we have any water loss or any intrusion coming into the system.
No, but it dissipates over time if you're not circulating.
Right.
So just making sure that,
right.
Or what's the next ask? And your plan is to save enough money so that you can go into a treatment plant,
right,
in essence.
When we build the well house on our new well, we're actually building a segment that will house a chlorinator if we have to put a chlorinator on the wells. Okay. So we're building the well house to go ahead and have that capacity. To where if we have to put a chlorinator on the well, then we'll have the area to set that chlorinator in and be able to chlorinate the water coming out of the well.
Okay.
We do have to replace the line from the well. That is a 4-inch line going back to the tanks with a 6-inch line to get the volume to go ahead and be able to push the water up to the tanks. That's why we want to drill the backup well up on the level of the tanks so that we have direct flow into the tanks.
Understood. All right, and then your mill levy, your income from property tax is about $8,000 a year?
We get about $8,000 a year from property taxes.
And your water rate is about, your base is 30?
Our base is 33 for the first 10,000.
For the first 10,000, and when was the last time you?
That was 2 years, that was when he was mayor.
That was the last time you upped it?
About 2 years ago.
And you went from what to what?
We went from $26 to $33 or something like this per 10,000. But we also went ahead and took the other people and put everybody that was on we have some people that are grandfathered in that live outside the town limits. And so we went ahead and adjusted their rates to where the rates would be twice what the rates were in town. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Somebody want to make a motion?
I'd be brave enough, Mr. Chairman, with your blessing. I would like to make a motion to accept as requested, contingent upon their communication with Water Quality Department to see and inspect their wells. That is my motion for today.
Okay.
And I would second that contingent upon the drinking water.
Right.
Funding. That's what the funding. Yeah. Drinking water funding rather than
yes.
inspection.
Yes. Well, yes. Okay. Funding, and they need, hopefully they're going to do some inspection to make sure everything's.
That's what
we
they
don't
do.
Want to approve this and then be deficient.
So, Candace?
We need an exemption.
Okay, we need an exemption.
Administrative. At this
administrative. Okay, roll call vote. Oh, wait a minute. Any further discussion? All right. We can go to a roll call vote.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
What you just voted on was a $2 million grant and a $750,000 loan, 30-year at 1%, with an administrative exemption.
Contingent upon.
Yeah.
Contingent upon
water quality.
Disclosing the Division of Drinking Water funding that you may be.
Yes, we'll notify you just as soon as we go ahead and meet with them and force what their decision is.
Okay, Mayor, you're impressive.
Yes, he is.
For a 45-year-old guy, you do a pretty good job.
Hey, I'm working on it. That's all we can do.
Well, he has next item, Mr.
Believe it or not.
He's going to stay put.
Yeah, he's another one.
These two projects are the only two projects I have left.
Okay. All right.
To try and get accomplished, you know what I mean? So,
tell us about your town hall structural remodel.
Wait, just one moment. Yes. Number four on the agenda is the town of Leamington. Mayor Finlinson, thank you for staying. This is for the town hall renovations. There are two components of this. One is they are repointing some bricks that have been falling off, and it's kind of on the exterior. It's kind of a renovation. The bricks need to be replaced, remortared on the exterior with some chimney repairs and some new concrete caps. They've also included in this application some ADA improvements also, which is a restroom. They're going to do some LED lighting, wheelchair lift, new elevator. They've added it to this application. CIB is probably not the only resource for these improvements, but it is a resource, a good resource. My question would be, have you contacted CDBG? This is something along their bailiwick. The public hearing minutes indicate that the bid that includes the chimney is $163,000. The cost with the paint not included in the bids is $30,000, making the price about $200,000 with a $50,000 contingency. I would like to know more. The board should know more about the T-Mobile grant. Did you receive a T-Mobile grant for any of that? You can discuss that. It appears that the project total is all coming from CIB. It's $450,000 grant. And with that, turn the time.
Okay, so it turns out to be that the town board about 15 years ago, in really good faith, decided they would paint the outside of the building and make it look really nice. And it did look really nice, but what they didn't realize is they did not realize that water wicks up inside of the paint to the bricks. And so the old part of the church that was built 1903 to 1910, those bricks were actually fired across the river in the hillside. They dug out and built kilns over there, and they actually fired those bricks that are on the building. And they are not as hard as the other bricks. And so basically, I can take my fingers like this about the bottom third of the way, all the way around the church, below the window sill. And that seems to be where most of the water has wicked up to that level in the brick structure. And those are just, I didn't want to go ahead and take my hands and just peel off the faces of all those other bricks there, you know, but you could go ahead very easily and do that, because where the water is, you'll see that the bricks are filling badly. And that wall is about 16 inches thick, you know, like this. And I think behind the bricks, you have an adobe structure that goes up inside. And then you have the interior inside of the church, the wall surface inside of the church. And so my concern is that with the failure of these bricks, we're going to get moisture in past the exterior into the adobe portion of the wall. And that we'll get some failure on the adobe portion of the wall. So what they have to do is they have to take and strip all the old paint off of the church. And we have to remove the landscaping, any landscaping that we have, so that they can put their, what's that stuff called that you put up?
Scaffolding,
yes. Put the scaffolding up in order to be able to get up to go ahead and remove the paint off the bricks. And then they will go ahead and be able to determine which bricks they need to replace to go ahead and go around. And I don't know exactly how they do that. Get the brick out and go ahead and put it. They think that there's a possibility they might be able to remove some bricks, turn them around, and reinsert them back into place, you know, to be able to do that. But the reason why the contingency is so elevated on the project is because until they strip the paint off, they don't know how many bricks are actually failed on the exterior of the wall. So they'll replace all the bricks on the exterior wall, and then they'll come in and seal those bricks to try and get all those bricks a hard surface that will keep them from being impacted by moisture. And then we have to go back and repaint the building with a breathable paint, whatever that is, but I've looked it up, and it's special paint that will allow the moisture to come out from the paint, and the paint won't keep the moisture in to attack the surface of the bricks anymore. But I'm just concerned. And we only have to do just a portion of the chapel that was built in 1903. We don't have to do the other portion, which is a larger portion that was built 30 years later in 1933. Okay, so it's just this old portion of the building where the bricks were fired locally, okay, that don't have that, they aren't that hard, and therefore they're falling apart really bad. So that's that portion of it, the project, and then we got to reestablish some of the landscaping back around the church once we get that accomplished. The other part is I've applied twice to the community development block grant people for the ADA portion, which is the only portion Leamington can qualify for. And I've got rejected both times on my application for ADA funds for that. because we can't meet the point value, get high enough the point value to get it up. I suggested that they change their point structure to allow us to qualify by contributing more, you know, towards the project, but so far they've rejected those requests to go ahead and change their point structure. So the only thing I do, we built a ramp outside of the church to get people up into the church. When I went ahead and modified back where the pulpit area was and stuff like this and leveled that out, I built a ramp, handicap ramp, getting up there. But we need to establish a chairlift to go ahead and raise up to that level so that people can come up and get up. And then we need to put an elevator that will get the people down to the bathrooms in the basement. We need to put handrails in the bathrooms, which we can do without any problem. We need to put handrails out on the steps, outside steps, you know, to go ahead and support people. And part of this is to resurface those old sidewalks to make it more wheelchair, you know, level and accessible, you know, not quite so bumpy for wheelchair people to get in. The lighting systems in the church, the electrical panels, obviously, are 1950s, two are 1930s. One still has the old round fuses that you screw out and put in and stuff like that. So we know that safety hazard-wise, the circuit breakers that are in there have been identified as being fire hazards. And so, therefore, we want to go ahead and change out the three circuit breaker panels in the building and go ahead and fix that. We just did over a $15,000 refurbishment of our kitchen area, which now looks really nice. We got a $20,000 grant from Rural Opportunity Program to change the old bishop's office into a bride's room. So that's one of the things that where we get our little resources, get money, and the people have requested a bride's room to, you know, for a place for the bride to get ready for her day. And so we've got that money to accomplish that and to move the council chambers, which that was down to the where the old primary room was. So we're just waiting to build a storage shed so we can clean all that area out, and then we can go ahead and use those funds to go ahead and do that, and that'll complete the building. All the projects on the building.
Okay. CIB can't fund a church, so we're going to call this a town hall, right?
Yes, it's a town hall.
Okay.
Leamington Town Hall.
All right.
Formerly known as.
All right.
As he's describing this, he describes my old church in my hometown, it sounds like.
Okay. All right. Well, this is a town hall project.
Yes.
All right. Do we have questions?
I do, Mr. Chairman.
Go right ahead, Nagy.
Thank you. Rather than having the expense of having the elevators and transferring all the ramps and all the stuff, can you just put the honey bucket outside that people can use?
Well, we actually have the concession stand out there, but we have to turn the water off during the winter. Otherwise, it'll freeze. And so, therefore, that's why we have to use the facilities inside for, unfortunately, this year, 6 months out of the year.
I have two more questions, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
So you, in your public hearing minutes, you had $200,000 that you had mentioned and $50,000 for contingencies.
Yes.
Just in case. Why are you asking for $150,000 in your application? Where does that difference of the $200,000 come from?
Well, the brick replacement on the building is $163,000.
Right.
Okay.
And the paint?
The painting, ceiling and painting is around $30,000. Go ahead and do that. $50,000 for the contingency is, it runs me up to $250,000 for that portion of it. The elevator and the chairlift, you know, to go ahead and go in there are two major things. Then there's and in order to get an elevator down to the basement, there is a I-beam that supports the floor that has to literally be moved, cut, and moved. And I've got to do, town board says I have to get engineering to do that rather than just put some tube forks up there and jack it up and then go ahead and move the I-beam. But they want engineering. They go ahead and make sure that the building's not going to fall down when we move the I-beam and reestablish the I-beam.
The last question is that the same thing that Candace asked. T-Mobile, $125,000 grant. This is the first time in 11 years I've heard that T-Mobile gives money away. Where did you get that, and how did you find that?
Well, it was in some paperwork. It was in something that came from either UCLT, Utah League of Cities and Towns, dot paperwork that they send out, you know, that there was a thing in there about T-Mobile. What they do is they put, T-Mobile put in $25 million for communities of less than 50,000 people.
Okay.
Okay, and you could apply for a $50,000 grant, okay? And so therefore I figured, but they said you can apply for more if you need it, right? So I figured, well, I'll apply for 125 then. So I went and applied for the 125, but they rejected that.
Darn it.
So anyway, I figured, what, you know, I mean, I could save the CIB money if I could apply, get $125,000 grant from T-Mobile, then I could save the Boston money. So
thank you, Mayor.
So that's the reason why.
Chairman, one question, another comment for him. SHPO. Have you guys contacted SHPO? I seen that you, that's...
We went ahead and did SHPO, but... If you look at the building there on that one thing, you'll see that there's rock that was put on the bell tower, okay? That rock was put on the bell tower in 1977, okay? And therefore, the SHPO said, you cannot go ahead and see that rock there. Yeah. They said, if you want it to be a historical building, then you have to remove all that rock and put the bell tower back, build it back the way the bell tower was originally built, right? So we figured that in 2027, then we can reapply to SHPO for historical status, because that's 50 years after the rock was put onto the side of the building, and get historical status then for the building in 2027. You know, but anyway.
You are not only knowledgeable, very smart and shrewd mayor.
Yeah. But we talked to Preservation Utah. I don't know whether you know about Preservation Utah, but they were the one that gave me the contractors to go ahead and go to get the brick replacement. But they don't have any money, so.
Nobody does.
Any other comments? Okay, do we, somebody want to make a motion?
I follow the same lead, Mr. Chairman. He is honest, he is upright. He's done all his homework, he's got all the resources, and he's applied for even T-Mobile grant. So I say we give him whatever he wants. That's my motion.
That's an interesting motion. Do you want to reconsider what you want?
No, I am so grateful for this board. I can't tell you how grateful I am.
I have fallen in love with this mayor. I'm just going to move him back to your town.
I'll second your motion.
I just try to get money from any place I can, you know. I mean,
okay, Nagy, I'm assuming you're saying the $450,000.
Please, yes, and plus my money if they want to accept
okay. it. And Jerry, you second that?
I seconded.
Okay, is there any other comments?
We're going to have an exception for it.
Okay.
Well, in this case, because of the fallen bricks and all the hardship, economic hardship.
Last time it was administrative. This time it's...
Well, different project.
Hazard, can we do?
Hazard.
Okay.
Because it's falling apart. We don't do it right now.
Anybody else have... Okay. Have a motion or...
Yeah, we have a motion and a second to fund the town hall structural remodel and ADA bathrooms with a $450,000 grant. Ms. Hansen.
Normally I would say no because I don't... Normally I'd say no on this just because I don't think a town hall rises to the same level of critical infrastructure as water and other types of things. The ADA accessibility, though, I do think it's really important, and so I will vote yes.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
I ditto what she just said, yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
I'm going to vote no.
Mayor Baker.
I'll vote yes. Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion carries with one opposed.
You weren't quite as compelling, but you're still compelling enough.
And it's
you got
you. If I could speak quickly to my negative on it, to know, it was in line with Laura and with the other commissioner that mentioned the same reasons. My thing was more in terms of looking at, because of the debt you've got and the different projects you've already gotten, is trying to work through this either compartmentally or take smaller pieces over time and do it with more applications, or come up with a little more tax money to fund it and have your community support it better.
And we've been putting $15,000 a year into the building. Okay, we changed out the furnaces. We redid the two rooms upstairs. We redid the kitchen. We've got the museum left to go ahead and go, but that's all we think that we can do from our town budget. That's 10% of our town budget that we're putting into the town hall each year.
And I'm just suggesting that you have to find a way to either increase your revenue from tax dollars or whatever.
Right.
Okay, Commissioner Brown.
Okay.
Yeah, congratulations, Mayor. I'm a building contractor by trade. All my career's been in building. Noticing on the picture with the roof, the metal roofing, and there's no rain gutter, and a lot of that old adobe brick will be splashed on as that water comes off. And I'd recommend that you put rain gutter up, but with metal roofing, you also have to put some cleats up on the roof so the snow doesn't slide off as well, so it maintains it. And you'd probably need some heat tape, so it'd be a little bit electrical involved. But that'll give your outcome and remodel project a lot better longevity if you have rain gutter.
What we had happen was we had all the leaves from the trees build up behind that bell tower, and that water would come down off, and you can see the eaves. So we're going to rebuild that eave structure, and then we can go ahead and put that rain gutter like you suggest there. But when they went ahead and put the metal roof on, they actually put a sloping thing behind the bell tower now to go ahead and force the water and the runoff to come down around the edge rather than staying behind the bell tower like it was before. So
a cricket. Yeah.
So we hope that that will correct a lot of that issue.
Okay, Mayor, congratulations. Yep.
Thank you.
You got your money.
Thank you very much.
I have one more clarification that I need from the board. The exemption for hazard. Where's that exist?
We don't have any hazard. We just said that.
I don't know. We just thought it up.
Yeah, you did. Yeah,
somebody added to it. Yeah.
If left unattended.
So what's a real?
The one I mentioned. The one I mentioned that the.
Financial hardship, emergency response, which is not.
No.
Unique project, special circumstance.
Unique project. Unique project. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank both you, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Next, Candace.
Excuse me. We have a 5-minute break.
Oh, yeah. Let's take a 5-minute break. Hello. Hello. I had to see if my mic was on, Laura.
I think it's working.
Okay, and we don't know how long he'll stay at every meeting. So, Greg, former member of this board,
Director Todd,
will you come up? We have a little gift for you for your service.
Uh-oh.
What was it, 6 months?
But it was a good 6 months.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Greg's an awesome guy.
I didn't come.
I know.
Finally.
Thank you for your service. Do you want to say anything?
Speech. Speech.
Speech. What are you doing now?
Yeah, tell us.
Yes.
You said in that mic.
I'm Greg Todd, Director of Office of Energy Development. I'm the Governor's Energy Advisor, and I was here until I lost my election, and the state called me and said, do you want to come out? And so I had to resign from this board to participate with the state. So I just came to talk to Commissioner Miles for a few minutes. I thought it was going to be after. I mistimed it. So thank you very much. This was... I just have to say, I used to come to this before I was even a board member. I really loved the opportunity to watch the different groups within the state, you know, apply for money and the things that the CIB does. It's great what the CIB does. So thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to add a couple of
please
thoughts.
Do. Yeah, absolutely.
I served with Commissioner Todd for 4 years on Duchesne County Commission, and you will be hard-pressed to find someone who is more engaged and more passionate about county government, local government, than this man. And he tries very hard for his community, and he tries now very hard for our state, and just have so much respect for the good person that he is and the hard worker that he, and the investment that he made in Duchesne County.
And because of that energy, he is the Commissioner of Energy.
That's right.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, Greg's awesome. We appreciate him. Okay. Number five, Candace.
Number five on today's agenda is from St. George Municipal Building Authority. It's the new town hall and parking structure. Their request is a $20 million loan, 30-year at 2%. They have applicant cash, $19,563,000. This is for a new St. George town hall. It is in kind of the center of town. I believe that they have the property wherein this is going to be on 61 South Main Street. The bond for the loan would be a lease revenue bond. Private financing for this project would probably be around 4%. I am not sure what the going rate is. Anyway, in the public hearing minutes, St. George was built the existing town hall was built 42 years ago in 1980. It housed every city service, and I think that since then their services have expanded. They're kind of here and there and everywhere now. The city organization grew and services and departments were moved to satellite locations. It was stated that the building will accommodate those services as they see the needs and growth for about 30 years. And with that, it's a very lovely project. It's a great project, but hopefully CIB considers. Yeah,
I agree with Candace. This is a project we'd really like to fund because it's all loan. We're struggling a little bit with our revenue right now. So if, you know, in your presentation, I don't know what June is going to look like, but we may have a little money in June. If I don't know that we can do the whole $20 million, but if you're flexible, we want to fund your project. Okay, we'll let you convince us now.
Thanks, Chairman Adams, and members of the CIB board. Thank you for letting us have this opportunity to come before you. My name is Mark Mortensen. I'm the Assistant City Manager of Operations for St. George City. Sitting beside me is my counterpart at the city. We work closely together. This is Deanna Berklasich. She's the Assistant City Manager over Administration. And then others joining us today, we've got Jason Burningham and Mark Edminster from Lewis Young, Robertson & Burningham, our financial advisors, as well as Jim Child from Galloway & Companies. He's our principal architect on the project. And joining us online is Mayor Michelle Randall from St. George, and our city manager, John Willis. And right now is a really pretty busy time for us in St. George. The weather's great. We didn't see a lot of vehicles going this way, but we saw a heck of a lot of them going that way, and packed with bikes and coolers and golf clubs and what have you. But I'll turn some time now to Mayor Randall. She'll be joining us online.
Mr. Chair and committee, can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So I am Mayor Michelle Randall from St. George, and I want to apologize on behalf of the city manager and myself for not being there in person. We have a rather large city council meeting today that might be a little controversial, so we didn't dare risk not attending that council meeting. Like it was said, our city hall was built in 1980. To put that into perspective, I was in the eighth grade. I am now a grandmother of 11. So it's served us well. At the time in 1980, we had a population of 10,000. We had 100 full-time employees. We are now at almost 100,000 in population with 800 full-time employees and close to 500 part-time employees. Every nook and cranny of our city hall is filled. There are cubicles that if I had to work out of them, I would be claustrophobic. So this city hall is needed desperately. We will utilize all of it. And our current city hall, our police department is also out of room. So they will take up our current city hall as a police campus, basically. They'll keep the building they're in and move to our current city hall. But we appreciate you listening to us today, and I'm going to let our experts that are up there in person speak, and we'll just listen in. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor. One thing I failed to mention is our appreciation for Candace, for Brenda, and for Gary Zabriskie with our five-county AOG. They've been exceptional in supporting us and helping us understand the process and giving us information. We really appreciate the open communication that way, so thank you. Like the mayor said, we have been working on this. We basically ran out of space in our current city hall a number of years ago. I recognize some of your faces from a few years back. We were here before the board asking for $15 million, which you graciously awarded to us in a 2.5% loan at the time. At that time, we were planning to renovate the current city hall and police department, which sits right next to the current city hall in St. George. Since then, it was actually, if I could tell you a little story, it was in 2020. We got the funding from the CIB in 2019. In 2020, I recall exactly where I was. I was standing outside when my neighbor yelled, "Hey, did you hear Rudy Gobert just tested positive for COVID-19?" And that was really the start of COVID-19 in my world. And at that time, that kind of put everything, brought us to a screeching halt. For economic reasons, economic uncertainty, and we purposely delayed our project. We were literally weeks away from moving out of our current city hall to remodel it, and the police department would have followed that soon after. So we delayed that project, and as we were thinking about it, we got to thinking, hey, maybe we need to plan instead of 20 years out, maybe we should be planning for 40 years into the future. And maybe our plan wasn't sufficient for our needs moving forward. So we took a look at it and thought, hey, why don't we, instead of renovating the current city hall, why don't we build a new city hall in the downtown area? And we were already looking at a piece of property for a performing arts center. It was a parking lot, basically Wells Fargo Bank, in the heart of our downtown, 2-acre site. And we thought, why don't we make that the site of City Hall right on Main Street, 61 South Main Street. 61 is the year the pioneers moved into Utah's Dixie, the Dixie Cotton Mission. And so we thought that was a good plan. That would then allow us to free up the existing or the current City Hall for expansion of the police department. Rather than expand their building, it was a good measure to move an exploding police department into our current city hall. They were going to move, they're planning to move records, administration, detectives, and a number of services from our police department into our city hall when we vacate it, and once we've completed this project. So that's just a quick little history about our city hall. It's roughly 70,000 square feet. It is primarily designed at this point. We have a parking structure, too, that's associated with it for 305 stalls. That parking structure is necessary because we're experiencing some parking difficulties in our downtown area. And so we thought a great service to the public would be to provide 305 additional stalls in the heart of our downtown that becomes very busy with events like Ironman, St. George Marathon, the St. George Art Festival, which is this weekend, and so on and so forth. And so it solves a parking problem downtown. We've also solved the park or the police problem. And then at City Hall, currently we house about 100 employees, and there's about double or triple that in the public that comes to visit City Hall on a daily basis. And this new building will take us, like I mentioned, about 40 years into the future. It's desperately needed, as the mayor alluded to in her remarks. It's much more than just an office building. There's a civic center component to it. There's also some security measures that we currently don't have in our existing City Hall that we desperately need. As a growing, exploding city, St. George was, as you're aware, like most of Utah, it was the fastest growing metropolitan area, mostly for the last two decades. And we needed some security measures for our city council that we currently can't do with the configuration of the current City Hall. And so we've taken all those things into account, taking security, taking the future of our city into account in designing and building this building. It will look and tie into some of the beautiful historic buildings like the LDS Tabernacle, which sits across the street, and of course the first building where Dixie College at the time, now Utah Tech University, was housed. That's the Dixie Academy building. So we feel some obligation to make sure it ties in historically to the downtown area, and really is a building of the people. It's a building built for events, for gatherings, and obviously for those times when we need it for controversial issues like we're facing tonight in St. George City at our city council meeting. But anyway, we have visited with, we acquired the property, as Candace mentioned, back in December of 2022, and have been visiting with all the neighbors who are now very excited for the possibilities that a new building will bring to the downtown, not to mention the additional parking, which we desperately need in that part of the city. Now I'm going to turn some time over to Deanna on the financial side of the building.
All right. Thank you, Mark. And I want to also thank the board and echo the sentiment of thanks for your staff, for Brenda and Candace and Gary also. They've really helped us navigate this process and take our calls, take our emails, and whatever method that we've tried to reach out and contact them. And they're very courteous and patient with us. So thank you for that you've shown us. Again, our ask is for $20 million. The total project is actually $45 million. That included the land. We've done some things where we've paid for the land up front, so we've brought that total project down to $39 million, $39,563. We are bringing to the table $19,563,000,000 to this project, and we have over the last few years anticipated that we would need to bring those funds and make sure this project was well leveraged. And so we are asking for that $20 million from the CIB board at a 2% rate. One of the reasons why we would like to come to you is CIB has been a great partner. As Mark mentioned, we were here a few years ago, and we found the CIB board and your partnership to be very meaningful to us. We appreciate the fact that as we pay you that loan, those monies go back to help our other communities within the state of Utah. And so that's important to us. We can go out on the public market. However, those go into other coffers. We'd really love for those funds to go back to our other communities within Utah. And that would be, you know, at the 2% loan rate, you've probably calculated this, but it's about $6.8 million over the 20-year span. And so bringing the project back, we do understand that you're, right now you have about $8 million available, and we can understand that. We've actually been on the other side. We're going through budget meetings all week long, and we're on the other side of the table, so it's kind of nice to be in the hot seat, but not nice to be in the hot seat. But anyway, that's where we are with the funding, and really hope that you'll see the value in this project and see if we can make something work with the board on the funding situation, because we appreciate the situation you're in right now.
When you came before, you said you got $15 million. Mm-hmm. And you spent that on?
No.
They
withdrew it. So do we have the $15 million still?
They didn't use it.
They didn't use it?
It's been used.
So we can repurpose the $15
million? It's already repurposed.
I'm trying.
We came back a little late.
Yeah. Okay. Very good presentation. Do we have questions from the board?
May I, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go ahead, Nagi.
Some of you have been in St. George and been also attending some of these meetings of the chamber, the council chamber. It is a dungeon. That place, does it have any windows to look out? It is kind of phobia when you walk in, like, oh, what is going to happen here? The restroom facilities, unfortunately, is not adequate. You have to take a number, wait for your turn. If it is emergency, you have to go to the police department, and of course they do fingerprinting, booking before you use the restroom. I've been there. But the city has grown, as the mayor said, as Mark and Deanna. It is unfortunate that they have to come before CIB and then ask for the money. It's a lot of money, but we did approve $15 million back two years ago, and they were anxious, and I was there asking Mark, when are you going to do the dirt removal? When are you going to bring the parking lot and all? But unfortunately, as you explained, he explained that they made a better decision, in my humble opinion. I've seen the maps, I've seen the plans and blueprints and the location of the community they're going to build. It is going to be a great campus for the city for over 40, 50 years. My question was that, Mark or Deanna, can you go to 30 years loan and then have a little bit more interest if the board is willing to give you this opportunity? Of course, money is not there, as you heard. It has to be waited until June funding trimester. But that's my question.
Yeah, we can. We've applied for the loan at a 30-year term, and yes, we feel like we can go a little bit more on the interest, and we've calculated that at 2.5% as well, and we can go to that amount. We asked for the 2% because it's a $20 million loan. It's quite high, and we were bringing more to the table, but we do understand, you know, where the current market is, what your situation is right now, and so we would entertain 2.5% or, you know, go to 3%.
My enticement is just entice the board member to feel passionate. And my next comment or question is that if they approve this, would you promise to sign 99-year lease, $1 per year, to get the CIB to come and use facilities for the to run away from the snow and icy time of the Salt Lake?
I'm looking over here, I think. Just be careful,
Nagi.
That
was off the record.
Thank you.
So, you know, you're not a big producing county, but you're still eligible for funds. We have some needs from bigger counties. And, Greg, I need to ask you, you've got a $20 million ask coming up pretty soon. Is that still? I talked to Ron Winterton, and he said he didn't think it was going to be that much right away. Do you know?
That's a special service district request, and so I'm not sure.
He talked like maybe right now they were only going to need $400,000 or something.
That's what he told me yesterday.
I think
in our meeting.
Probably for the
is time. That what he told you
yeah.
as well?
Yeah.
So. So let's do a little calculating here. Where's my math guy? Come
he's,
on.
He's retired.
So,
hey, Bruce, can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
I was wondering if CIB wasn't here and you had to go out on the market, what would you be paying out in the market right now for that $20
million? We'd be approximately 4%, 4.1%.
4.1. Okay.
Yeah, that's the rate right now for a commercial.
Okay.
So do we still have $8 million available from the financial sheet?
It's behind you.
Ooh.
Right down.
8.2. Did we spend some of that?
No,
today?
This is, you haven't spent.
We haven't done anything
yet. Okay. This is if you funded everything, that's what we.
That includes 20 million requests. That 20 million is included in that calculation.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's down here, right?
Yes.
Right.
So you can see we don't have enough money in the bonus fund for either of the 20 million requests, but the other 20 million is.
And you suspect we'll get how much more money by June, roughly?
Another eight million.
Yeah, if everything is so awesome and wonderful, we might get about 8 million.
Okay. So we can't use these.
Awesome.
We can't use the mineral lease money to loan.
You can loan mineral lease at any interest rate you want. Any interest rate you put on bonus. You can loan it. You just can't grant out of bonus.
Yeah. So it seems to me like we might have 16 million.
We won't.
Okay. I tried to get my math guy over here. We have 8 now.
If we have 8 now, 8 was on the very, very high side, and that's what comes back to the state.
And we don't get
CIB.
Any more. We don't get any more before June.
Yes,
we'll
get
May. April and May we do not have included there. So April and May, if we get $2 million and $2 million, probably four. The whole
four.
State would get $8 million. CIB would probably get about $4 or $5 million. Divided into these two, it would mostly come in the bonus fund. So you might have $10 million.
Okay,
so,
what I'm thinking is maybe we'll have 10 million and we can't give any money today.
Right.
We won't fund until June anyway, but if we put you on the pending
priority
list
until
and wait till June to see if
you decide today. If you don't decide today, you put it on the pending.
Chairman, here's a thought. If we don't have
there's my math guy. Yeah.
In June, can we continue with that into the next trimester and see what comes in? I mean,
if
we'll bump
it on the pending list until
right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If we did it, we could do it, but they may not get their money for a few months, 6 months possibly. But they'd have other funds to start the project. Mm-hmm. With this committed to the $20 million when it comes available, correct?
Well, the pending doesn't necessarily require, or help me, the pending by itself, is that an approval or is that more of a tabling?
It's pending.
If it's pending,
it's just tabled.
It's tabled.
It's
so you're not approving any amount of money necessarily until there's enough accrued.
We're just trying to give them some hope, Jack.
That's what I'm trying to do too.
Yeah. Pending, it can stay on there for 6 months. Stay
without
on the pending list.
Without coming back to the board and being re-upped or whatever.
No.
Okay, Scott.
So I'm just thinking out loud here.
That's the way old people do.
Yeah, but most of the time it makes no sense either. But we've got an application here for $20 million. They can get these funds elsewhere where you've got applications that are coming in that can't get money elsewhere. And if you commit all of your funds and future funds to this project, what does that do to the ones that can't get funding elsewhere?
Can I jump in on that one?
Please.
Help me to answer the question. I think Mark mentioned partly that, or Deanna rather, yes, they can go other places to Zion, public financing, or many other resources, but we don't benefit one penny of that.
In terms of interest.
The interest they pay back to us, which usually non-producing communities, they unfortunately pay more interest, which is righteously so, because they don't produce. But that interest coming back to us again, so we can reallocate for communities like this one in Lamington, they have nothing to their names. But if they go to Zion Public, you know where the money is going to go. We're not going to benefit one penny of it.
I understand that, and I agree with the concept of it. If that's the case, they ought to be paying at least 4% interest, which is the current rate now.
Well, you don't give them much incentive if they can go get it for 4% interest.
Yeah. But their incentive was to help the communities, is what they said.
Well, I understand, but if we can lend the money out rather than grant it, then it's going to come back to us. I think that's what Nagy's trying to say.
And also, Mr. Chairman,
and that's only up till June, so any money comes in after June, from June until October, is what we can work with.
And also in the...
Okay, I'm wrong again.
Sorry.
No. He knows this drill.
Don't admit you're wrong after you talk to your counselor.
No.
His wife's in the room, though.
Commissioner Adams is not wrong. Mr. Zanotti is not wrong.
Did you hear that, Christine?
Commissioner Bartholomew is not wrong. Here's the deal. The board is not in the business of not allocating money. But the board has to give priority to those producing counties if they spend all the money on this. Going forward for a while, they've kind of preempted other projects that this is their only choice.
Can I make a suggestion to the board and Commissioner Adams and Nagy? We appreciate, and Commissioner Bartholomew, we appreciate all the dialogue. We also understand that Duchesne Special Service District number 2 is going to apply for the $20 million as well. And we respect that and don't want to take all of your funds. What we may propose to you is if you could graciously grant us a $10 million loan at a 2% rate. We feel like our financial advisors, we wanted to come to the table with other alternatives for you. We feel like we could go out onto the market and get the other $10 million to give us a blended rate around the 3% rate. But in order to do that, we would have to ask, you know, to bring that rate to in at 2%. And $10 million for us, if that would be something you would consider in lieu of what we've presented.
Do you have any better options? Since you opened the door. And I say that respectfully.
We had for $15 million passed.
Yeah, we had inquired if you could... As you can see, we're bringing $19 million to the table. We don't need that as day one. This is a two-year project. We had wondered about asking for $10 million now, and then a year from now, if there was a possibility of preserving $10 million more, we understand that we would need to come back to the table for that additional $10 million. So that would be another option, is that... at the time, we've looked at a drawdown schedule. We do not need all of that funding all at once, and to have the ability to come back at a later time would be another alternative that we could work with.
Yeah. Okay, Candace.
Thank you. I'm going to just apprise the board of the process after you fund something. CIB does not complete the transaction, issue the bond, unless we have sufficient evidence that you can complete the project. If you want to award St. George lesser money, they have to have that secondary loan or something before we can put that money in a construction escrow. Or they can change the application somewhat so that CIB funds a component that can be completed with CIB's funding. Because we do not put any money out there unless the entity can provide satisfaction for and in behalf of the board that you can complete a project. Yeah. Otherwise, we would have a lot of half-completed projects around the state.
That's right.
So we're not going to, it would be inadvisable for the board to award $10 million without knowing that the whole project could be completed, unless there is a component of the project standalone that CIB could fund. And that's what we would reimburse for, a scope of work. So if you want to, you can put this on the pending list, let them go back and revise somewhat what they could get from CIB, and they can come back June 1. Because I don't know that you have, well, you can do it contingent, you know, authorize a $10 million, which you don't have yet, but you might by June 1. Put it on the priority list that up to $10 million you could, but all of the other funding has to be accounted for to complete the project, or we do a lesser project.
Could we? I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Nagi, can I just sing a little song?
Please do.
You got to know when to hold 'em. Know when to fold 'em. Okay. Go ahead, Nagi.
And could... Is it also a possibility we just approve something today with what they're requesting, subject to availability of fund by June trimester, rather than doing pending or put on the table? If I'm going to be motioning for this, it's not going to be a happy moment for Mark or Deanna or Mayor. I will say go for the maximum, $20 million, 3.5% for 30 years.
Laura?
But then in June we can't fund it.
I'm just subject to availability of funds.
So my question there, to go back, because I'm still a little lost in this math, fuzzy thing's getting to me. We have in the bonus fund a negative $39 million.
No.
Wasn't that what was up on there?
We would have
if we funded
it.
If we funded it,
which is including this project.
Yes, yes.
In the bonus fund is $5,683,000.
Right, that's sitting in it.
We might get another million. Maybe.
Oh, you told me to.
So, but this outstanding loans is stuff that we've already approved and everything that is. So we really won't get, even if we get a million.
Even if we get this,
that's outstanding.
These are outstanding.
Including today.
Applications. We haven't funded them.
Oh, applications, the whole thing down through.
Everything that was applied for.
I was thinking it was the
bonus. This is the revenue as of 3/17.
Included today is
you take this away from that, do the math, it would be in the red. So we have these applications, counting theirs.
Right,
counting.
Counting St. George, counting Duchesne at 20 million.
Two of them make 40.
So, as you can see, this is the add up. That's all the bonus loans.
Right.
We've got the $220 million.
So, in other words, that's bonus.
We have. She's fixed. We got motion sick. This is what has been applied for. So, we'll change this name so you don't get confused. Applications, grants. That's what's, we haven't funded it yet.
Yes.
This is the revenue as of 3/17.
So we have surplus.
If we funded everything in the grant world, it's that.
Yeah. So, Vanna, we couldn't even buy a vowel right now.
Just couldn't buy a vowel.
Maybe one.
Now this revenue can go out as grants, 0% loans, or interest-bearing loans. This is the happy well. This has to bear an interest.
Right.
No grant, no zero. But, and we have bonus fund revenue right here in the amount of $5,683. We could take part of their loan from this and part of their loan from that, but you have to keep both funds revolving. So anytime we can take a loan out of the mineral lease account, we do as staff. You don't have to worry about it.
Yep.
But we give you the balances. Anyway, thank you for indulging me.
But so, since it's over $5 million.
Yeah, what?
Since it's over $5 million.
Are you talking in the microphone?
Since it's over $5 million. It typically would come from the infrastructure.
From there.
Yeah.
And we don't have it.
Wipe that thing out.
We don't have it. Yeah.
And what we've prioritized already today is $3.8 million in grants and $750,000 in loans. So of the projects we've already reviewed today, if those are important, that would have to be deducted from this, correct?
Well, it's already,
yeah,
it's
already,
or it's already built in. Okay, got it.
Yeah,
so I get it.
What we've already done.
In this fiscal year. State year.
So, Mr. Chairman, let's repeat the same question that Candace asked. Can you make, by $10 million awarded today, Young Finance Group can provide that opportunity? Is there a possibility to do that before the June 1st?
For a one project?
Well, you can do, there's two choices.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can give us one component,
mm-hmm.
one standalone component that CIB could fund,
mm-hmm.
and then we can put it in a construction escrow and reimburse for that one standalone component. Otherwise, you have to have all funding for the whole project that you presented today.
In one place.
Right.
And they could award $10 million, but you'd have to come up with everything else to make the... Because you have to bid it before we would ever close on the loan anyway. So we have to know exactly what the cost of the project would be.
So I have a recommendation. Go ahead, Jerry. Sorry.
How confident do you feel that you can build this building for what you have budgeted?
We're confident. We've gone through several iterations. Right now, we have hired a CMCG contractor to review those numbers. We're fine-tuning those numbers, but we've gone through various iterations of the cost of the project, and we've brought in that CMCG, and we're looking at those numbers very closely to fine-tune and value engineer all of those costs right now. So,
okay.
Big D Construction's our estimator right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll jump out on the
limb. All right, we're going to have a motion.
Yeah.
Sit back and ride.
It's easy. It's easy. For what they've asked for, I would do it at 3%, and as that would be the only change from what they requested, but it would be that they be on the pending. Either maybe I don't even have to say all that. My motion would be put them on the pending list and come back with recognizing our lack of funds, put them on the pending list for now, and let's see what finances look like more directly. And it's in all sensitivity to all the importance of the building and respect. Let's see where we're at and see what works better for you with the things that Candace mentioned, and I appreciate those comments.
Is that the whole thing? $20 million, 3%?
I think by putting on the pending
list,
it doesn't matter.
It waits. Okay. But you can be on the pending list and come back at any meeting.
Well, but they
that
come
means
back
you can
even
come back
in
June. You can come back in July.
No,
you can
six
come
months.
Back in August. You can come back. Once you've expressed your love to this board in one hot seat moment, you can come back and verify and let them know your absolutes, and they can let you know what theirs are, what we have. So for 6 months, you've got 6 months if they put you on the pending list.
Does that give you enough hope? No.
Okay. Well, or you can come back
still trying
off
to
the pending list to do a phase that we could fund. We cannot... We're going to put you on the pending list, which means we've seen the project. It's standing in the line,
mm-hmm.
waiting for funding and the board to authorize funding because they can. Right now, they can't.
Right.
That's my motivation for the pending list.
Mr. Chairman, was
yes,
this,
Greg?
Didn't Mr. Zanotti make a motion? Did you?
No, I was just thinking if I'm supposed to make that motion, I will do that. But I'm just trying to see what is appropriate for them. Yes.
Can I?
So we have a motion on the table.
But we don't have a second.
We have a, let's see, Mark, you have a comment first, or Diana?
We are wondering about, you know, your comment on funding a full, complete project. We feel like the parking garage, $8 million would cover that parking garage if we could ask for the funding of $8 million at 2%, and then would we be able to come back on the pending list for the difference of the... I'm sorry, I feel like I'm negotiating, and I hate to put you in this position, all of you. I know how it feels, but we don't understand how the project, you know, the process works. You've explained the pending, but in order to maybe secure at least $8 million now and allow us the time to go back and reevaluate and also get better numbers, we do feel really good about the numbers. But to have our estimator go through at that point, we should have a guaranteed maximum price amount at that point as well. So that would be our question.
Okay. What do you think, Jack?
Well, just quick. Either way, the pending list lets you make that one project. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We don't know what it is right now, and you don't. You kind of do, because here's what the... Mm-hmm. But
depending
if you...
Okay.
So being on the pending list is not a penalty. It means you're still in play.
Okay.
All right.
You're in the queue, so you can come back anytime between now and the June 1st to plead your case again.
For 6 months.
Well, we don't have a meeting 6 months. In May.
But it'll probably be 3% interest when they make the decision.
I wouldn't put a probably on it.
Three and a half? Five? What?
No.
Substitute motion when he can get a second.
We don't have a second on the first.
Have you called for a second?
Well, I'm trying to get a word in as well.
Do we know when to hold them.
Do we have a second on Jack's motion? His was put him on the pending list, right?
Yeah,
correct.
Don't have a second, so do we have another motion?
I will make a motion along the same lines as Commissioner Lytle, but 3.5% interest. And I mean, no disrespect, but you're putting your money where your mouth is. You know, if you're really invested in the other communities in the state, our job is to find money for rural communities, especially those that are impacted by mineral lease. So instead of the 3%, I would say 3.5%.
And I removed any percent on it because the pending doesn't require us to do anything on funding.
Yeah.
The pending is just the pending.
Just the pending,
sits there.
Okay.
Until we finalize what it's going to be, the project, we have to...
Not saying it couldn't go there when the final project gets approved. Yeah. Pardon me for stepping in. But that's...
Oh, Jack. What do I do with you?
Knowing that, would you like to second putting it on the pending list? Because then when it's decided, you can give it whatever interest rate.
Yeah, you know, I've struggled this whole conversation because I along the same lines as Commissioner Bartholomew, we are leaving ourselves short. We're going to be in a really tough position without any money.
Well, put him on the pending list. We'll find out for sure if we're short.
Okay, so if... question?
Mm. Yeah.
If we put him on the pending list, could we deny it later then?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
So we're just tabling this then, essentially. Okay.
Yeah, but you have to speak the right language.
I would like to give them time to plan, though, and I think back to the finish the conversation. It's going to be at least 3.5%. That would be my motion. At least 3.5%. In order to get some return on this money so that we can grow the fund, there needs to be some more skin in the game.
Okay, let's see. Who's going to make the motion to put them on the pending? Are you or Jack?
I thought I did.
He did.
Well, he did, but we didn't get a second.
Didn't get a second. He needs a second.
So it died for lack of a
second. Want to try it again?
Well, I'm not sure I understand.
Pending?
It's not been done before that you put it on the pending list as something.
Right.
You just table it. But you can. That does not prohibit you from putting it on the pending list as
I'm making a motion to accept as maximum $20 million, 3.5%, 30 years. Pending.
Okay.
I will second the motion.
You second that? Yep.
What was the interest?
3.5.
3.5.
30 years.
The whole amount?
Yes.
Okay. What we're going to do is move it.
With a contingency.
Move it.
Huh?
It's tabling it with a contingency. We're either tabling it or we're putting contingencies on.
Pending the same thing that you were suggesting, but we have as requested. So if they can come back with the idea, what kind of project they can deliver, there will not be any motion.
For the purposes of debate.
I'm going to have a legal opinion now.
I don't think this is legal. I think this is more Candace's domain. But to clarify, I think typically we're approving these projects subject to funding and final approval at the budget meeting. Right. The budget meeting is coming up in June. If we approve this as to be put on the pending list, that's tantamount to not taking any action.
Yeah.
Because it keeps them in the hopper for the future. So it may not be necessary to do a motion to put it on the pending list, rather just to have a bunch of robust discussion. And Candace will remind us about the robust discussion when it comes down to it. That might be the best procedure, but you can vote to put it on a pending list.
The pending list tables it, period. It comes back and you have to discuss what you can and can't do and what the board wouldn't do, and you can come back with your
term.
Smaller.
So I think we have a project motion, and we did get a second on that motion.
Yes.
We needed a second on Jack's pending table it motion.
Other than
there wasn't. It died.
We tried, but we didn't get one.
So the pending list is still a pending list, but now it's Greg Miles and Nagy. You don't get to put anything on it. You don't get to say 3.5. You just put it on the pending list.
That's where you just hit it.
Does anybody get a headache?
Died for a lack of second.
Who's on first?
No one second.
Okay. All right.
Let me tell you where I'm at, because I have to do the minutes.
so tell us where we're at.
Yeah.
So the first motion that I heard was pending list from Jack.
Right.
Not a second.
Yeah. Second.
Second motion, the substitute motion was pending by Commissioner Miles, seconded by Nagy.
No, I made a motion, he seconded it. I made a motion, and he said
motion. But his motion, we had three motions.
Oh. Yeah. So there was a second, a substitute motion, so you're the second substitute motion.
Okay.
Putting it where?
Pending.
Wherever the chair says.
Yes.
But isn't that the same thing as what Greg did?
I was saying that.
Yes. Has anybody got any prescription Tylenol?
Point of order.
You call it. What motion do we have, Mr. Chair?
I have a question quick, and I know I've been mouthy a little bit or too talkative.
Go ahead, Jack.
Thank you, sir. if we are going to retain the ideas of our attorney, we go back to the plain, and I'm not trying to promote what I said, but to simplify the world, if you guys would remove your motions and seconds and go back to a clean putting it on the pending list, I believe our conversation would be done.
Okay.
Second.
I think you're right, and I'm going to, as chairman, accept a motion to put it on the pending list.
From Commissioner Lytle.
No interest rates, no nothing.
We're not talking any details.
Okay, that's all.
And we have a second.
Yes.
We have a second.
By?
Me.
By Scott.
Oh, sorry,
but Laura.
It's okay. I tried. It's okay.
Laura yelled it out for you.
Can I just clarify for the applicants? That means you come back at a later date when we have a better idea of what our funding situation looks like, and
that's
you can come back with a scaled a scale to request, for example.
It's so, no harm, no foul. Any okay. meeting, like I said.
Okay, is there...
Question.
Can I have our financial advisor ask...
Oh, just a minute, everybody. So we have a motion and a second to put it on the pending list. Do we have a substitute motion?
Heavens no.
Not anymore.
No, thank you. Thank you from up above. Okay, now, would you like to make a comment, one of you?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify, if it's on the pending list and June is the funding meeting,
right.
It wouldn't be prioritized, so it wouldn't go on that unless we come back in next month.
You come back in June.
No, wait.
No, anytime.
No.
When you're on the pending list.
You can come back anytime.
Thanks for scuttling the ship, St. George. Anyway.
Sorry.
The pending list lets you come back. We could fund you in July. We could fund you in August.
Could we fund them in June?
We can. I don't know. We could fund you in June if we have money.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
But you're on the pending list as just, it's going to stay in stasis as you applied.
Is there a time limit of how long it stays?
Six months.
Okay.
Yep.
And then we will notify you that we are pulling it and it requires a new application. The application you've submitted in 6 months, every number you have is stale.
Right.
So that's why 6 months.
One more question. How will we know when to reapproach the board?
When you know your side of it.
Oh, okay.
You come back in June and let's visit.
Okay.
And talk to the staff on the funding.
Just keep in touch and we'll put you on an agenda when you, I think that you will be ready enough to not confuse the board.
We apologize for that.
And I can vote.
You've earned your...
Yeah, you can vote then.
We don't have a May meeting, so there's just this window. So yeah. June is the first, is the last meeting of fiscal year 2023. It's our funding meeting. We always have, and that's everybody else that's been on the priority list. If you came back in June, it would require another discussion because you are not placed on the priority list or nothing has been decided by the board, as you could tell. Anyway, it's the pending list, but the big problem is the project is awesome. We love the fact that St. George will take a loan.
Yes.
There isn't revenue, but we'll know more. So, and the limitation is that CIB cannot close any loan that we cannot complete with the available funding. So that's why the parking garage, we can complete it and it's a done deal.
That's good.
We'll take a roll call vote now.
Yes, we will. This is on the pending list. No harm, no foul. It's still your project. You may find, you know, Bill Gates moved into St. George, loves it, and bequeaths you $20 million, and we're off the hook.
Hallelujah.
Anyway, so are you.
Or T-Mobile.
T-Mobile. No. Thank you for your patience, seriously, St. George and
Thank
the board.
You. Thank you.
It is. You guys, I mean, this board is phenomenal, but they don't, once they award something, necessarily follow it through into the weeds. So every once in a while, they got to know what they're, you know, getting into when they do make a decision. So thank you, board, for your patience and thoughtfulness, because it is a great board. Ms. Hansen, this is pending.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye, with the comments, don't spend your matching $20 million. Keep it in savings. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Thank
for
you all. Appreciate
Thank you for your time
very
and
much.
Patience,
Thank you.
All of you.
Hope to see you in June.
Thank you. Same here.
We will be in touch. So just keep in touch. I can put you on any meeting in the next 6 months. Not May.
Okay, we have one more item, board. We need to decide where the retreat is going to be, and I'm going to make a suggestion since I have the floor. If the board would like to come to Monticello on either the 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd of June. My house is available, and so are my facilities.
Are you?
Yeah.
Where will you be?
I'll be right there.
Is the policy retreat?
Well, so the policy
retreat.
So the policy retreat is the 1st and the 2nd?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Monticello. All in favor?
No. I have a complex. I'm so sorry. I'm going to be out of the state. Just a heads up.
For both days?
Yep.
You'll be gone when?
June 1 through 6. So sorry.
What dates were you proposing?
Well, it's usually the first Thursday.
Yeah.
So that would be the funding meeting.
Okay, so it would be the first.
And that's, yeah, so first and second.
The second would be a retreat.
You don't need to schedule around me, but just a heads up, I'll be unable to come.
Proceed in ignorance if we don't have you.
I do that anyways.
So what are we doing, please, again? Then we're first and second.
Dessert.
And where we're going to your place?
That's a suggestion. He's offered.
I've offered. You also have Bryce Canyon, Kanab, Richfield, Price, Salt Lake.
No, I didn't hear Dutch John. Dutch John.
We need facilities in Dutch John.
It has to be.
I know. I was being facetious. Thank you.
It's a big circus. Where did they go last year?
Last year we had it here because it was a new board.
Right.
So we had it in Salt Lake and did all of our training with no, it was July. So last year was the anomaly. In April 2nd, we had a funding meeting, and April 29th, we had a funding meeting to complete with the board as it existed, because May 4th,
the change
happened. So there was no June meeting, no policy retreat, but there was a policy session here in Salt Lake, July 7th.
What if we were to...
So don't compare it, but the year before we were at...
What if we were to do
Ruby's Inn?
May, the first Thursday in May, even though it will not be associated with a funding meeting, if we were to do a one-day training somewhere?
Some of us already got other commitments.
I'm in.
Done away with it.
Yeah, all right, I'm just checking.
I'm in California then.
Let me tell you some June Thursdays. Because you can, I mean, it has been bumped an additional week historically. So here are the June Thursdays. It can be June 1st and 2nd, June 8th and 9th, June 15th and 16th.
I can't do 8th and 9th because we have the Bryce Canyon.
Yeah,
we have the year anniversary.
Yeah.
So appears to me that June 1 is still the best.
Absolutely.
What about Wednesday afternoon?
Laura Hansen will get a one-on-one tutorial for you if she wants.
Sorry. I could do the 31st of May.
So it could be, well, that's Tuesday, Wednesday, but...
No, Wednesday. What if we did a Wednesday, Thursday, so that she'd get the benefit of the training?
I could come part of the time.
Can that be good?
Wednesday? No.
And then June, I'm 21st, 22nd, 23rd, I've got a wedding.
That wasn't an option.
Yeah, one or two. I thought he was married already.
Just saying, because you all
talking. I thought he was already married.
So, I think you'd just be leaving my daughter.
Okay, board, it's been offered to go to Monticello June 1 and 2nd, which means you would stay the night of May 31st. That means Monticello or San Juan County hosts the Thursday night dinner. You sure you want to follow through with that?
My house. On the deck.
Is everybody bringing tents and sleeping bags on your yard? Or?
So where are we? Yeah, we say motels or what?
Yeah, there are motels there. We need to act on it quick or else they're all booked, which is why it needs to be decided.
There's only one hotel, isn't it? It's still there?
No, there's... Inn at the Canyons is where you stayed.
Oh, last time.
Last time.
Yeah.
But there's there's one, two, three, four, five, six.
Really?
Hotels.
So I don't see any other county volunteering to.
That's capable of holding it.
Yeah, someday maybe if you know.
We're working on it.
The last real one we had was in Bryce. So
yes, yeah. We had it in Garfield County last time.
And what about Sevier? We were there or San Pete.
Let's wait a year and then we can do it in front of me.
So let's vote on all in favor of Monticello and let the chips fall where they may and just plan on getting there. Say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed with big heartburn and heartache? Sorry.
How about the Dixie Chicks? How do they vote?
Monticello?
Three thumbs up.
So I'd like to just make one comment to that effect. I've had one speeding ticket in my life, and it was from Monticello. Thank you.
We're not going.
Supporting his
economy.
Do you
want somebody to pick you up?
Sounds like he's looking for number two.
He's just helping out the economy.
Don't talk about law enforcement in front of me.
He's getting a little red.
Yes, he did.
His feet started to shake.
Especially law enforcement in San Juan County.
Bruce is not bailing you out.
Everybody, slow down.
So what you're saying is I can't throw your name when I get my second ticket.
No. Please don't mention my
name. Point of order for the record. Already. For the record, that might be a better conversation for later.
And we'll have a dinner at my house on my deck on
Did you
May,
hear that? On
June.
You're cooking, I think is what he said.
May 31st. No, we'll get somebody.
May 31st.
And he does a beautiful steak.
She's ready to fight.
Don't get her riled up. I got to ride home with her.
So May 31st, the 1st and the 2nd.
Chairman, can I say something? Can I say something?
To get there. Tribal.
What are you planning?
That night.
Huh?
What are you talking about?
The CIB retreat at our house.
Okay.
Just like we did it 10 years ago.
Sounds great.
I'm not sure you cleared that.
Yeah, you might have cleared that with the cook.
The chairman of the board.
of the board.
I was kidding.
I told you yesterday I was going to propose it.
What date are we talking about now?
You stay 31st. Overnight the 31st of May, June 1 and 2, Thursday, Friday.
The funding June meeting 1. Is Thursday. And then
Thursday morning till about 10, we authorize all the funding. And then we start with, you have to do conflict of interest, you have to do your OPMA training, you have to do your... This is the annual training.
So how many nights? How many
you
rooms?
Want to change the rules.
I understand. Two nights. How many nights?
Two nights. Wednesday night and Thursday night.
First and first.
Okay, so will you make those reservations for us? Or?
Yes,
okay.
We will get a block of rooms, and it will be a group gathering, so you don't have to pay for your room.
Candace, if you can get a Zoom link, I will try to attend as much as I can.
There
I'll
will
be traveling, but yeah. I'll try to attend as much as I can.
Where that's down in Monticello, we're at the southeast corner of Utah. How long are we going to be on the 2nd in meetings or training or anything?
If you want to stay an extra night, we can make sure the block of rooms is the same cost.
What I was thinking is if we can get the board to approve that extra night for those that are traveling long distances.
The days are longer. You know, now we're on day... We're not.
No, we can't. I will ask about getting the approval for an extra night.
Because it's so far away for everybody.
No, we're done by noon.
It's a lot further away.
Yeah, then if we're done by noon, I can. If it runs at 3 or 4 in the afternoon, driving home late at night.
Yeah, it's just a day and a half.
You won't get home in the dark.
We're done.
That's all I'm asking.
You go.
It's just the opposite from going out to Tooele. It's more than 30 miles back.
That's right.
It's uphill both ways.
Yeah. Okay.
And Monica and I will offer our services to help.
Yep. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Dean Baker, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
I didn't give a second.